శ్రీశైలం శుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి దేయం నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురువన్ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
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 ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మీలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః చైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపదా మహ్యం తదాది స్వదాన్నియం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమోం విష్ణుపరాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి నమోం విష్ణుపరాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి నామిని శ్రీ వర్షమానవి దేవి దైదాయ కృపార్థయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞాన దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీ రూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీ గౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాంబ సిద్ధాంత ద్వంద్వహారిణి నమో గౌరవిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానంద నామిని గౌరశక్తి స్వరూపాయ రూపరూపరాయతే గౌరావిర్భావమేస్తం నిర్దోష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియ వైష్ణవ సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయతే నమః పంచకల్పతృభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్యేవ చ పదిదానాం భావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావినయాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయ దే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వషే నమః అజరత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాస్త్రీయం కృష్ణకరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే జయదం సురదౌభాంగో మమ మందవదేర్గదీమత్ సర్వస్వదాంబోజౌ రాధా మదన మోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీరాధాశీల గోవింద దేవౌ ప్రశాలభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్నాసరసారమ్మి వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనే గోపే గోపినాథాశ్రయేస్తున తప్తగాంజన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుస్తుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Parthaya Pradibodhitam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gratidam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrutavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanusandadami Bhagavad-gite Bhavadvarshinim Namostute Vyasavishalabuddhe Kullaravindayatapatranetram Yena Tvaya Bharata Tailapurna Prajwalilo Jnanamaya Pradiva Prapannamari Jagaya Totravaya Traigavanaya Jnanamudraya Krishnaya Gita Amradaduhe Nama Samohupanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Parthoval Sasudiv Bokta Dugdham Gita Amradam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsajahu Viramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Vishmadrona Dada Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilo Ulpala Shalyagrahavadi Kravena Hani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghoramagara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khaluvanda Veirana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshavam Parasharyaya Sarojama Malam Gidarthakandholkadam Manahyanayakesaram Harikatha Sambhodhanabhodhinam Lokesajjanasharpadeyaharahapreniyanam Mudabhuya Bharatamangajakkalimala Pradvam Sinashrayase Bhugam Karodivajalam Pangam Lenghayadegirim Yalkrupatamaham Vande Paramanandamadhavam Yam Brahma Varnendra Rudra Manudastvanvan Nilimestavaya Vede Sandhapadaya Kramopanishadaya Gayandiyam Samagaham Jnana Vastita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidasura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Namah Krishna says to Arjuna, Pravrittincha Nivrittincha Janana Vidurasura Na Chaivam Apichacharo Na Satyam Teshu Vidyade Asatyam Pratishtamde Jagadahura Nishwaram Avaraspara Sambhodam Kimanyir Kamahedugam Evam Drishtvam Avastabhyam Ashtalpana Buddhaya Prabhavandi Ugrakarmanam Chayayam Jagadohida. Krishna's explanation on the demoniac nature, isn't it? Asuri vasana, that is what that is. And we have discussed this. First thing is to know what pravrti, what is nivrti means, isn't it? Even that understanding is not there about pravrti and nivrti. Pravrti means to get involved in the karmam at the same time, through karmam freeing yourself from karma vasana, to escape from the karma vasana. That has to happen. That is pravrti margam. Nivrti margam means one who has already freed from the vasana, for them the process for realizing the truth. That is nivrti margam. And in the system, how it operates is two different series. One comes through the prajapatis, which comes through pravrti margam, and one comes through the kumaras, which is the nivrti margam. Which is the same thing Krishna has spoken in the earlier also, that he mentioned in the fourth chapter, that the jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. It is the same thing Krishna is saying in a different way, but in principle it's one and the same thing he's talking about, because it's been established not today from from creation it comes from. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. That has been existing since then. And that means pravritti margam and the nirvritti margam. Even when we get involved in the pravritti margam, we need to be under control. Otherwise we will go out of line. And that is why Krishna is warning us there that pravrittincha nivrittincha jana na vidura asura. They don't even know that, he says. Pravrittincha nivrittincha jana na vidura na jaivam na bichacharo na satyam deshu vidyate. For them there is no acharam, no satyam, and they live a life like that, which means you can see that how it has happened over present situation is extremely awful what is happening at the moment, but because we have gone so far away, drifted away from what Krishna has spoken. And so, and many people have, one, due to influence of the science, modern science, they have made us to believe something what is not the truth. Completely carried out by the eyes and the ears, they think that the truth is only realized through the eyes and the ears. That's the one big fundamental flaw in the modern world, that they cannot reach the truth because it's not accessible to the ears and the eyes. And we are people who believe only what the eyes and the ears are telling us. Krishna says there is nothing more stupid than this, to think that everything is based on, and this is the main difficulty with the science. So science says something what is mystery to us even today. So many things in the Bhagavatam is like that, and in the Bhagavad Gita. Only when you understand that mystery, when you start seeing the mysterious side of spiritual life, we start appreciating that. We start appreciating that. You can see in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly in the Bhagavatam, you will see how when Bhagavatam instructions were given, how they received it. If you look at that, you will understand that the depth of that inquiry and the mysterious side of the spiritual life. When Vidura met Maitreya, Vidura had this question, which we often we ask again and again, about the jiva situation. What is jiva's relationship with Atma, isn't it? This question came up there also. Vidura asked Maitreya Maharshi the same question in the third canto, you can read it there. Similarly, later on in the Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhava asked Krishna the same question about Jiva's relationship with Atma, Krishna. And there Maitreya Maharshi told Vidura, this question what you are asking me is a very difficult question to answer, because till you realize it, you won't understand. My explaining that won't help you. He says that to Vidura. Explaining it to you will not help. But if you realize it, you will understand what it means. This is how he puts it to Vidura. Vidura later on reflects on that and he says the same thing. He exactly says the same thing what Maitreya has told him. And Krishna also said to Uddhava, that Uddhava, this is not a question that you can understand with your mind. Mind has no, and we give all the importance to this mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence are not meant for understanding spiritual life. This is the first principle. That they are only there because it's come with the body as a package. And it is there, so we just have to know how, where to use it and where not to use it. Then also we have to know. So looking at all these things, you can see that the Srimad Bhagavatam particularly is telling us about this self-realization process on a completely different level, on a totally different platform it is. So similarly, Krishna is saying to us in the Bhagavad Gita that this asuric nature or demonic nature will stop developing that understanding of the spiritual life. Often we get so absorbed in the mind and the intelligence, we are unable to come out of it again. And to see that there is another deeper side in life which we totally ignored it, and due to this technology and the way of life what we have developed in the modern world, it has become practically impossible to come out into the to the spiritual consciousness or spiritual understanding. So, but many people often in their life they have rejected soul, they have rejected spiritual life, but you can see them in the old age, they come back to it. It comes back to them again. Because these things happen all over the world. There was a very famous mystic. He was he was born in Armenia, spent a lot of time in Russia, and then he came to France and he gave up, left his body in France. He had a disciple who criticized him heavily for his teachings, what he on his own accord, he studied the books, particularly from Vedantam. He took a lot from the Vedantam and he developed himself spiritually. You can see him if you Google in the internet, you will see his name, and he has his own one institution which he established later on by his followers, but it didn't grow very well. After he died, they started Gurdjieff, that's his name, Gurdjieff, yes. And he had a disciple who criticized him very heavily for his teachings, because disciple, he went along with him, but later on he found it very difficult to accept many things what Gurdjieff has told. But then at the time of death, that particular disciple, he was very repenting about it. He was feeling that somebody has given me some valuable things. I didn't know how to value it. I have felt very disturbed over that. And at the time of death, that person was saying that if only I could see him again and apologize to him before I leave my body, he said. So it so happened that when he was thinking like that, this Gurdjieff was waiting outside the room, coming to see him. So he was in shock that how he appeared at this moment. Gurdjieff says to him, "I knew that this will happen." He said, "I came to know that you are leaving the body. I thought at least at this moment I should tell you the fact that if you go in that direction, that you will be lost." And that is what Krishna is saying here. Pravrtimcha nivrtimcha janana vidurasviram na shaucham na abhichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. So he says to him, this disciple says to him, apologizing to him for all what he has written. He wrote a lot of articles in the newspaper and in several other magazines, completely criticizing Gurdjieff for what he has spoken. Gurdjieff spoke about the soul based on the Vedanta philosophy, a lot of things. He has studied from Vedantam and he took it from there, but he couldn't accept that. At the time of death, what happened was, when Gurdjieff came to see him and told him that truth you will never be able to criticize. Truth is always truth. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Nasado vidyate bhavo namavo. He held on to that very, very, very strongly, to that verse. Nasado vidyate bhavo. And then this disciple says to him, "What shall I do now? I have criticized you so much. And I wrote so many things against you. But now I think somebody is telling me from inside that it was the wrong thing to do, what I have done to you as well as to the world." And because of his writing, many other people got misled by that. He was a prolific writer, this disciple. And he wrote so strongly, he says to Gurdjieff that I have done this wrong thing in my life and I have misled a lot of people. You know what Gurdjieff told him? Gurdjieff told him like this, he says that, "They will also go around like you and will come back to the same truth," he said. "And you don't have to worry about it. I'm not saying that what you have done is wrong thing. You have done what was to come through you. But, and you have come to know now that there was something that was missing in your understanding. You should leave your body peacefully now." But, and the other side, he says to him, They also, who have been reading your paper and your articles, they have some prarabdham to finish. And they also go through all this inquiry business in a serious way before they can come back to this. And he says to him, so people have read your books and they have completely lost their power of discrimination, and that's their prarabdham, that they have to go through this. And Krishna is saying here that such people, asatyam apratishtande, they are situated on the false cities of life. Apratishtande, they have no basis on which, and they are the people, jagadahur anishwaram, that there is no controller in this world to think like that. Because you, often you can see these atheistic people, many often scientists, they are intelligent in many, many ways in this world. But when it comes to this, they lose it. They can't go further. So many like that, isn't it? In the big, big universities and in the professors and all that, you can see. They have no faith. They have no faith in this. Krishna's words. We don't have to believe it because Krishna has spoken. What Krishna is saying to us is, there is a system working there. You won't be able to dodge it. And asatyam apradishtamde jagadahur anishwaram abaraspara sambhudam kimanir kamahedugam. That asatyam apradishtamde, this world is not false. In that sense, it's not false. It is satyam. But, and it has a basis. It is not apradishtam. It has a pradishta behind it. Apradishtamde jagadahur anishwaram, and there is a control over all these things. It's not that it's working without any control. There is total control on the whole situation. That's what Krishna is explaining there. And those people who follow that path, they don't have dharmam or adharmam. They don't believe in dharmam or adharmam. They have no knowledge about it. What is dharmam, what is adharmam. Therefore, they do what they like. That situation happens. And that is where we are today in the world, isn't it? There is no authority. There is no understanding what's right and wrong. Everything based on the mind, people are operating. What it suits me, I do. What it suits you, you do that. This way, we are managing the affairs. And Krishna says that, aparaspara sambhudam kimanir kamahedugam. They have no, that is a total departure from the way the Vedic philosophy has instructed the human society to follow. So that is indicating to us, we have such a long way to go. And even the basic things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, we are finding it difficult to accept it, isn't it? That's where our difficulty is. We still have our scientific mind and scientific brain working behind everything. And it is causing so much destruction, destroying ourselves and destroying the whole world. That's what Krishna is saying here. You destroy yourself and you destroy the whole world in that process. So this dharmam adharmam, and this is exactly the question Vidura asked Maitreya Maharshi also. Sughani karmani karodi loke. He says, this is what I cannot understand. Vidura says to Maitreya, people are working hard in this world to become happy, but the result is always unhappiness is coming. The distress is coming. Why is it happening? Maitreya Maharshi asked Vidura, what do you think it is? So Vidura says to Maitreya Maharshi, only thing I can say is that they are not acting based on dharmam and adharmam. Maitreya Maharshi says to Vidura, it's not only Vidura dharmam adharmam. Some of them know what is dharmam, but they are not able to do the dharmam. Why? The vasanas inside is preventing them from doing the dharmam. Sometimes you can see this in people's life. They know what is right thing, but they can't do it. Why? Because of the vasana inside. Why did this vasana comes like this? Because of doing karma. From karma came the vasana. So karma was performed, the result was the vasana, and the vasana has created this situation. And therefore, they are unable to do what is dharmam and what is adharmam. They are not able to discriminate properly. And why did that happen? That is where I said, Krishna alvimughasya, because we turned our face away from Krishna. We lost the Krishna consciousness, in other words. Therefore, it has happened like that. So, dharmam adharmam apradishtam, Krishna says here, that if this dharmam adharmam, if it is not there, it will happen, he says, that that the dharmam adharmam pratishthante apratishthaha. So he says that asatyam yatha vayam anrudaprayaha tada idam jagal sarvam asatyam apratishtam cha na asya dharmau adharmau pratishta adaha apratishtam cha iti apratishtam cha iti. Dharmam adharmam, you don't think about it, what's right and what is wrong, and living a life like that. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, if it suits me, I'll do it. This mentality. It's a very dangerous thing, isn't it? So, there's nothing important here. Why should I worry about others? What happens to others? It doesn't bother me. This attitude. And sometimes you can see Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name, bhakti, nama japam, or sankirtanam, bhagavatam, all these things, is not important, they say. Why waste time doing all these things? And I live my life what suits me. This mentality. I live a life what suits me. Jagadahur anishwaram. That means there is no controller in this situation. And he says here, Jagadahur anishwaram. He says, Jagadahur anishwaram means Jagadahu anishwaram nacha dharmam adharmam vyapekshaka asya shasita ishwaro vidyade iti ada anishwaram jagadahu. In other words, he says here that this creation also, who says somebody has created this? It's been there always, and the only thing they say that it is keep sustained by the relationship with man and woman. That's the only reason behind it. Aparaspara sambhudam kimanir kama hetukam. That's the only thing that is sustaining here. And everything is based on man-woman relationship. And if you ask that sage the question, if it is like that, how is the sun and the moon were there? How did they come into existence? And what is the reason behind it? Who caused the sun and the moon to exist? There's no answer to that. Not only that, and so they say that this avaraspara sambhudam, that means this three purusha samyogam, man and woman relationship, alone by that creation doesn't happen. We have spoken that before in the Sankhyam. Sankhyam says to us, till the jiva decides to come and enter into the womb of the mother, there cannot be any creation happens. You can do anything you like. Till another jiva decides to come and get into the mother's womb, life won't develop there. So it's not totally based on the man-woman relationship in this world, isn't it? So, and so many times creation happens, where is the truth behind it? you can see here that the just because people got married doesn't mean they have children. They have children. And their marriage is only a facility for a jiva to come to this world. Marriage is only a facility for the jiva to come to this world. And only a cause, that's all it is. And sometimes you can see, without this man-woman relationship also, creation happens. Creation happens. For example, on its own, in the rainy season you can see this. Instead of the birds bringing the seeds and throwing it somewhere, through the lightning, creation happens. Sometimes when you had a very heavy rain through lightning, and in the morning when you look into the garden, you will see some plants have come up. Some plants have come up. And somehow or the other, sometimes seeds enter like that on its own into the earth, and some very special plants, divine or divine plants, particularly aushadhi means herbal plants, they take birth in this way, in this world. And that is known to the Ayurvedic people. They know certain plants are not, you can't plant them and grow them. They grow on its own, they come and they grow. If you try to plant them, they won't survive in this world. There are certain plants like that in the Ayurveda, like that. So, samyogam, he says here, this avaraspara sambhudam, that means the purusha stri samyogam, is not necessary in all cases. Creation still happens. So they are called Sadyojatakam. Sadyojatakam, Sadyojanakam means that they can take birth on their own, and there is creation like that. So this aparaspara sambhutam, what they say, kimanyer kama hedukam, that means their understanding is that the whole creation is only for gratification, sense gratification, and in that way, and their philosophy is that enjoy yourself as much as you want, and in that process this world will go on in that way. So unfortunately this principle is being taught by the parents also to the children, and they explain to them that this is the way life is for enjoyment. Life is for enjoyment. If the parents go down in the root, can you blame the children for that? Isn't it? So there is a problem in the society, particularly among the aristocratic society, the so-called aristocratic society. You will see this in all the big cities where people live. And there also, sometimes it's amazing when you go to big cities like Mumbai or Delhi or Kolkata or Chennai, where there's a huge population, where this demonic nature is very strong, what Krishna is talking about, where there is an aristocratic society in these big cities who live a life like that. They have no faith in any of the Shastram. They don't encourage their children in that direction, rather discourage them. And they have been told all the time that this philosophy, aparaspara sambhodam kimanir kama hetukam, because they have grown up like that, it is surprising sometimes when you go to even big cities, you see there is certain people still talking about bhakti, still talking about bhagavadam, salsangam and things like that, isn't it? So children are taught like that, especially among the wealthy families, wealthy and the so-called aristocratic families, isn't it? Because that is the dress of the aristocracy today. This is the kind of life the children do not know anything else. They have come and taken birth there in these families, and from a very early life they are fed with this television shows and all other kinds of rubbish, what's happening there. And like the Bhadragali's dance in the night, what goes on in the television programs, isn't it? So, and their birthday parties and celebrating the birthday, inviting the other children, and this dancing and drinking and all kinds of rubbish, what goes on in the name of aristocratic society. Sometimes you can see that when you go from Srimal Bhagavatam hearing, you will see their parties going on. Their parties are going on. This is our aristocratic society. So children are growing up in this kind of society, and they don't know what is happiness. They don't know what is shanti in life. They don't know what is happiness and what is shanti in life. And their hearts are not open up for that. And they have never enjoyed the happiness of the depth of spiritual life. That's where it's coming from. From the depth of spiritual life, a certain happiness comes, a cooling effect that they have never experienced in their life. Everything is on the surface. Everything on the surface. Rajogunam, tamogunam. They have not a trace of satogunam in them. Therefore, all their dancing and alcohol and all other kinds of sense gratification, and they'll continuously engage in that, and their vasanas will grow in that way. And that is what you can see, this is very prevalent among the modern so-called aristocratic society. They have the money to spend for that, and they will find the money for living that lifestyle, and they destroy not only their life, they destroy the whole world. Krishna is saying here, kimanyer kama hedukam, what do they know about life? That's Krishna's question. So you can see this, how this affects everything, the whole entertainment industry, movie industry. In everything, they'll bring a young man and a young girl. That's whole, the way they project to you about the life is in such a way that there's only young people in this world. There's no old people. They don't show a grandfather or a grandmother. No. All movies are centered around this one principle, young people. and their loving love affair, isn't it? So they won't write about the old people's story. Their problems doesn't exist. Why? Because that vasana inside is kimanyer kama hedukam. Krishna is saying that. Why? So 100% you can say from Bollywood movies or the other Kollywood or Chollywood or wherever it is, wood, it is coming from. All the movies you will notice, this is the theme. Why? Kimanyer kama hedukam. Krishna is saying. That's all they know. They don't know anything else, isn't it? So, nothing else. That means there is no substance in anything what they presented to this world. You can't say that it is very creative or innovative or anything. It's all the same story they keep repeating in different forms. And what it means is, those who are writing these stories for the films and those who are making movies on that, is all their vasana is very, very pragradam. Very low class vasana in them. That is what it is. When you have such low class vasanas inside, whatever you create through your creativity, whatever that comes out, will also be low class, is it not? So that is the point Krishna is making here. That you can see massive population is controlled by that now. There is no proper understanding of a higher life or a higher principles, higher values. What is culture? What spiritual life? All these things are missing now. Whole society is driven by these kind of values, isn't it? Aparaspara sambhudam kimanyer kama hedugam. Krishna is asking there. So, they won't write anything else except this one young man, young woman. In their relationship alone is the whole topic of discussion in the film industry and as well as in the novels what they write. And completely whole this entertainment industry is based on this whole thing. That is what Krishna is saying here. That therefore, they are finding it very difficult. They need their stories like the hero and heroine. They won't find an old man as a hero or an old lady or a grandmother who has lost her teeth as a heroine, will they? They will only find a young girl, 17, 18 years old, who has come to the industry, and the whole industry is so corrupt, this film industry. What all goes on there is unbelievable. And sometimes it is shocking to us that when our own people want to go and identify with them in our spiritual presentation to the world, as though they are the ideal personalities to follow through. So when you see those movies, you can see there that their vasanas are very, very low. Krishna is saying that here. Asatyam apradishtam de jagadahur anishwaram aparaspara sambhudam kimanyer kamahedugam. So, what they are saying to us that if you see those movies, only they have the right to live in this world, young people. Nobody else is allowed to live here in this world. So, all their exhibits or these movies is nothing but an expression of their pragrada vasana inside. That is the most important point there. You see, when people have such low vasanas inside, that it will express itself in this form. And that is what all this is about. And otherwise, there is no spirituality, no culture in any of them. And sometimes we take that into as a way of life. Even devotees take it sometimes. Like you can see, there was somewhere there was news about this and a lot of criticism also that in the Rathayatra, in some of the cities in Australia, they were using the Bollywood music and Bollywood style dancing. Totally unacceptable that to do such things in front of Lord Jagannath to present it to them. So all these things are going on. And these are the people who are going to present Krishna consciousness to this world. Such a degraded situation is developing everywhere. That is what Krishna is warning us, that if your vasanas are no good and if you degrade yourself to that level, is moral, it is asurik vasana inside. That vasana, you can see how that vasana comes out. It's waiting for an opportunity to express itself. Whether it is Radhyatra, whether it is something else, doesn't matter. But that vasana inside is such that it will show its own way. అసత్యం అప్రతిష్టండి జగదాహుర నీశ్వర్యం అపరస్పర సంబోధం కిమన్యర్ కామహేదుగం అండ్ దెన్ ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్ ఈ సెడ్ ఏదం దృష్టవాం అవస్థభ్యం దృష్టాల్పానం అల్పబుద్ధయ ప్రభవంది ఉగ్రకర్మాణం క్షయాయం జగతో హిత సో ఋషీస్ దే హ్యావ్ గివన్ అస్ దిస్ ఇన్ పరంపర ఇన్ ఈ డిసైపిక్ సక్సెషన్ దిస్ ధర్మశాస్త్రం అండ్ దే గేవ్ అస్ ఎ వే ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ టు లివ్ అండ్ దే హ్యావ్ టోల్డ్ అస్ ఆల్సో దట్ ధర్మశాస్త్రం అండ్ దట్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ and with a particular way of life, jivita paddhati, they say like that. those who have lost their intelligence and those who have got this asurik vasana, they will always try to destroy what the rishis have given. They have already done that to a large extent. They have done that. And because their intelligence is gone. That is what Krishna says here. Prabhavandi ugra karmanam kshayayam jagadohita. He says there, isn't it? Because one nature, the symptom of those people is that they will engage in ugra karma. That is their nature, ugra karma. And they never think that there is another generation going to come. They have to live in this world. No. Everything is so short-sighted. How to use this material nature to the maximum possibility, exploit the nature, and to, without considering that, there is more living and it is coming to this world, they also have to live here. That understanding is completely missing. That's a very demoniac nature that is it not? Krishna is saying that, ఏం దృష్ట్వాం అవస్థాభ్యాం నష్టాల్పాన అల్పబుద్ధయ నష్టాల్పానం దే హ్యావ్ లాస్ట్ ఇట్ దే హ్యావ్ గాట్ ఇట్ దాట్ ప్రాపర్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ ద నేచర్ నేచర్ ఈజ్ నాట్ అవర్స్ ఇట్ హ్యాస్ కమ్ టు గివన్ టు అస్ వీ హెన్ అలౌ టు లివ్ హియర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కృష్ణస్ ప్రాపర్టీ బట్ వీ హెన్ అలౌ టు లివ్ హియర్ సో వీ హ్యావ్ టు హ్యాండిల్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాపర్ కేర్ ఇన్స్టెడ్ దే ఆర్ సేయింగ్ దాట్ నో ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ ఫర్ అవర్ అడ్వాంటేజ్ This is the only one generation has to live in this world. That's the way we are behaving. And exploit the material nature with what? Ugra karma. With ugra karma. So, therefore, you can see here that we make arrangements in such a way so that when the next generation comes, they get completely destroyed. In such a way, we will create the situation here. And you can see here when the women lose the dharma in their life, the whole society gets destroyed, isn't it? Whole society gets destroyed. And men are concerned that you can see that they want to bring some peace into the society, but because of this asuric nature in them, demoniac population, therefore Bhagavatam is saying to us in one place, that wherever women are worshipped, there will be auspiciousness. Dharma will be there. And yatra naryastu pujande ramande tatra devadaha, the Bhagavatam says. Yatra naryastu pujande ramande tatra devadaha. Therefore, if a mother is strong in the family, the mother is strong, and if the mother hands over to the children, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, holy name and bhakti, things like that, this can help a lot. That can keep that society peaceful. And if mothers don't do that to the children, then what will happen that is that only if you give them education, college and university, and finally there's nothing much going to happen, their life will also be hell. So you can see, this is practically, you can see yourself. Every time in universities in America you have seen, they take the gun and go and shoot 10 or 12 children or teachers. What kind of children are they? Imagine the background from which they have come. They have to be so violent at such an early age in life. That means how much violence must have been injected inside by the society. and the parents and their lifestyle all has contributed to that way of life. And this is the after effect what we see. And when that happens, the leaders are saying, oh, we have to have a thorough inquiry into it. Why it has happened? Why it has happened? And it happens all the time. Every year there is one or two things, two or three times it happens. 10-20 children die and go from this world. All this society is a reflection of what Krishna is saying here, that asurik vasana. Edam drishtvam avasthabhyam. They have created this. Krishna says, don't blame me for this. You are living a life of your own choice. And when the society goes, everybody is asking the question, why did it happen? Why did it happen? You know the answer. Why you are asking this question? Edam drishtvam avasthabhyam. Nashtalpanam alpa udhaya. Prabhavandi ugrakarmanam chayayam jagadohida. That is the answer to that question. So, and it is because of that you can see that many, many parents are all over the world feeling this. They know that there is a problem in the schooling system, education system. Some of them have started the homeschooling and things like that. They don't want to send the children to the school because they see that what comes out from there is ultimately not a very pleasant situation, isn't it? So, in order that to protect them, it is very, very difficult today, isn't it? And but difficulty is when you start doing that, when you start this homeschooling also, there is problem. Because government says, up to a certain age, you have to teach all that what we tell you to teach. All the stupidity. What the government, the people who are writing these books, the school texts and books, they are also of the same category, isn't it? And most of them are politicians, are aided by the politicians. And they write this book, and whatever they say, we have to teach the children. We have to teach the children. So, why I am saying all these things, why Krishna is saying all these things to us is, we are inside this. We are inside this. We are inside this field, what they call as the kshetram, inside this. And in order to come out of this, you have to take shelter of the Devi Sampatta, the divine nature. And depending on Krishna's grace to come out of this, isn't it? Only then you can come out of that. So those who have got trapped into this Asuri Sampatta, what Krishna is saying here, that why Krishna says to us these two things, Devi Sampatta and Asuri Sampatta, is that Devi Sampatta is conducive for self-realization, to know the truth, to get to know the truth. Asuri Sampatta will bind you more to the world, to material nature. Unless you free yourself from Asuri Sampatta and become more closely connected with Devi Sampatta, it will not grow. It will not grow inside. So Krishna is saying here, evam drishtam avasthabhyam nashtalpana alpabuddhaya. See that word nashtalpanam? Nashtalpanam means this, that you won't be able to progress in spiritual path if you take the shelter of the demonic nature. So therefore we have to be frightened about this Asuri Sampatta. If Asuri Sampatta builds up inside, it will never be possible to develop Krishna consciousness. That is the difficulty. That is why Krishna is saying to us, in how many ways we have been infected. From the point of view of education, we are infected, aren't we? Bad and false education, simply meant for creating industry and factory and technology and to develop a lifestyle which is completely an animal's life, number one. Number two, whatever values one had, value means in Krishna consciousness wise, morals, faith in the Shastram, faith in the authorities, faith in Krishna, all these things they destroyed through the science by demystifying everything, trying to question everything in such a way that people will lose their faith in the Shastram. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying so many things, isn't it? Sudev Brahma, Shtuka Brahma, she talks about various things in the Bhagavatam. And they will question in such a way that you will lose your faith in the Bhagavatam. This is what the service, the science has done. So science is doing that, industry and technology is doing that by created a lifestyle in such a way that you will simply work and won't have any time to reflect on anything else higher in life. So both two things totally opposing our spiritual interest. in other words. Totally opposing our spiritual interest. What Krishna is saying to us here is that if you follow that route, nashta almanam, you have lost your soul. You have lost your soul. Don't waste your time in spiritual realization, Krishna is saying. Alpabuddhaya. Alpabuddhaya means they have very limited intelligence, they don't have any proper intelligence. Prabhavandi ugrakarmanam shayayam jagadohida. Not only that, they will engage in very, very heavy activities. Shayayam jagadohida. What, imagine the lifestyle what we have created in the modern world and for which we all pay a very, very heavy price for that. Isn't it? Very, very heavy price for that. So here, in order that dharmam gone away with that, isn't it? Dharmam is a big thing in life. And why dharmam adharmam is spoken so much? Because without dharmam, our life has no support. You can see, dharmam artham kamam moksham. Artha kamam moksham, they are all dependent on dharmam. But dharmam is the basis on which you can have arthagamam. Arthagamam, you don't have to be taught. Dharmam and moksham, you have to be taught. Isn't it? Goal of life is moksham. Liberation once for all from this material existence. And the basis of that is dharmam. That is why out of the four things, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, dharmam and moksham requires education. Arthagamam doesn't require education. Isn't it? To earn money, does it require education? Because if you have a lot of material desire, you will go and make money in this world. If there is a lot of desire, isn't it? That's the way it is. And to desire something to enjoy, nobody has to teach us. It's already there plenty enough inside. So that is the point Krishna is making here. Then arthagamam, you don't need education. From the Vedic point of view, that's what I'm saying. Vedic point of view, arthagamam doesn't require education. Dharmam and moksham requires education. Modern world says to us, dharmam and moksham don't require any education. Arthagamam requires education. This is everything upside down. Everything upside down. And the result, we are all suffering now because of this. Isn't it? Life has become real hell for most of us because of this. So much fear, anxiety, and totally distressed life. People are living in this world in various ways. The whole society is suffering because of this. Arthagamam, Vedam says to us, rishis found out this. You see how intelligent they were. Rishis knew arthagamam doesn't require education. Arthagamam, minimize it. This was their principle. If you have wants artham, do whatever little necessary, and therefore even there they brought this control in the form of varnashrama dharma. So that you work within certain framework and you make your living in that way. So that arthagamam does not go out of control. And kamam is concerned, they put a lot of restrictions. They always valued dharmam and moksham, not artham or kamam. That is why brahmanas were worshipped and they were respected, because these two things were maximum in them, in the brahmana community. They were given the highest responsibility because they took responsibility for these two, dharmam and moksham. And others who wanted to engage in arthagamam, vaishyas and shudras, they were given the artham and kamam. You can see how it works. The difficult part is dharmam moksham, not arthagamam. Arthagamam is not a difficult thing. There are so many people, rich people in this world, making money in so many different countries in so many different ways. Do you think we should worship all these characters? What are they worth for worshipping? We worship those who show us the purpose of life, and at the time of leaving this body, we have a better destination after leaving this body, and who have some knowledge, proper knowledge, in the proper way trained in the tradition of the rishis and in the Vedam. That is what we are looking for. But society is guided today by those who are successful in the arthagamam. And that is what we are paying the heavy price for that. The whole world worships arthagamam now. And those who are successful in the arthagamam. Isn't it? So, and those two, from the Vedic point of view, you don't even need any education for that. That simple things. If you have a business nature, do some business and make some money, that's all. And that too, they put the limitations, Krishi Govaraksha Vanijyam, like that. Trade and cows, protection of the cows and agriculture. In that way they kept it. But where is that today? Where is that society based on that principle? So therefore we have got problems, serious problems we have. And Krishna is saying to us that that they will engage in such karma meant for destruction of the world, he's saying here. Destruction of the world, he says. Prabhavandi ugra karmanam kshayayam jagatohita. Kshayayam jagatohita. He says here, prabhavandi ulbhavandi ugra karmanam. That ugra karmam turns into krura karmam. Krura karmano himsalmagam. Himsalmagam means full of violence in their actions. Full of violence. Kshayaya jagataha prabhavandi iti sambandaha. Jagata ahida shatrava ityarthate chaha. And their life will be such that they will destroy themselves, they will destroy the world, and they will destroy others as well in that process. So here, these things why Krishna is saying, to make us aware that how serious the situation is. How serious the situation is. So if we have some vasana to do something in this world, the problem is that our outlook will not go inwards. We will be very external. Suppose I have a lot of vasana to do a lot of things in this world, what will happen is my drishti will always be external. It won't go inward looking. It won't go inward looking. And so when you see the whole society like that, especially I'm saying this in relationship with our modern education, you can see very much centered around the outside world. Centered around the outside world. Giving importance to things which are not important. And not giving importance to things which are important. We have lost that. What is important? Important is self-realization. Important is spiritual life. Important is freedom from the body, mind, senses, intelligence and shanti inside. That is the highest priority. Not disturbing the life. What is the use? You may be doing so many things very efficiently in this world. But if you are always disturbed from that, what benefit is there in that? That is the question Krishna is asking. That shanti, Krishna mentioned that in the Bhagavad Gita in many places, isn't it? Goalless shanti. That peace inside must happen. So you can see this when all the world, when you look at, you can observe this, that it is impossible to continue with spiritual life in this modern society. Practical difficulty. Arthakama parayuyam. Remember that verse? Narayana paravayam. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. That's the answer to that. You're not going to change the world. Because arthakamam is your priority. Arthakama parayuyam. Your priority is arthakamam. And for us, narayana paravayam. Dharma and moksham is important for us. Narayana paravayam. Tasmal, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu. All times, you will be as you are and we will be as we will be, we are. That's not going to change. It's no point in trying to make a rapport with them. It will not work, isn't it? So, for you, they're saying that, Krishna is saying, for you, money and sense gratification is important. And for us, Krishna is important. Therefore, you will be as you are and we will be as we are. We will never be able to work together. When we realize this, at that point, shanti will come. At that point, shanti will come. Because when you come to this point, there is nothing to be given in this world, nothing to be taken from this world, there is nothing to be improved here in this world. World will go on its own way and nothing to make it perfect here and nothing to be done here. And purely taking shelter of this Devi Sambhata, divine nature. That is what Krishna is saying here. So never try to correct the demoniac nature. Don't try to correct the demoniac nature. And he is not going to change very easily. Those who are in the demoniac nature. You can see from your own effort, you can try how the best thing to do in demoniac nature is to move away from that rather than trying to change them. That's not going to happen very easily. because Krishna consciousness and spiritual life, these things, to know that as your responsibility to chant the holy name, and bhakti process, sankirtanam, self-inquiry, all these things, and to give your attention to that and give your energy towards that. That is the solution to the problem. And then there is some hope, Krishna is saying here. Because in that case, that divine nature, Devi Sampata, that will take us into perfection one day, if we follow that route. And that's all we have to know, Krishna says. That's all we have to know from this. That never fight against the demonic nature, that will not work. Because as demonic nature, you can't change easily. It's come from very deep levels, that Asuri Vasana inside. So therefore, Krishna says, don't try to fight against that. It is not going to work. It's not going to work. We have seen that happening again and again. People tried, but it didn't work. It didn't work. Asuri Sambhat, the nature of demonic nature is like that. If you try to tell them the right thing, they won't listen. And they won't accept it either. That's the Asuri Sambhata. So, it is based on that, that Krishna is saying to the next words. Kamam ashritya dushpuram.
Kamam ashritya dushpuram.
Dambhamanam adanvidaha. Mohat grihitvad asadgrahan.
Mohat grihitvad asadgrahan.
Pravartande ashuchivradaha. Kamam ashritya dushpuram.
Kamam ashritya dushpuram.
Dambhamanam adanvidaha.
Mohat
grihitvad asadgrahan.
Mohat grihitvad asadgrahan.
Pravartande ashuchivradaha. Kamam ashritya dushpuram. Dambham manam madanvidaha. Mohat grihitvad asadgrahan. Pravartande ashuchi vradaha. Pravartande ashuchi vradaha. Krishna is saying here that taking shelter of the insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. Attracted by the impermanent. This is the demonic mentality. Krishna is explaining that. That the kamam icha vishesham ashratya avasthabhyam dushpuram ashakya puranam dambhamanam adanvidaha dambhamja manamja madaja dambhamanam adaha taihi anvidaha dambhamanam adanvida mohan avivekado grihita upadaya asadgrahan ashubhanishchayan pravartande loke ashuchi vradaha ashuchini vradani eshante ashuchi vrada kim Vardaha kim cha. So, in here, in this verse, again Krishna is saying, this asuric nature has a very basic basic quality in them. What is that? Earlier also you mentioned that, dambham manam madam. Isn't it? Dambam darpobhimanascha krotham parushyam evaja. He mentioned that few verses before. Again, he is saying here, dambam manam madam. Dambam manam madam. This is that asuric nature. Dambam darpobhimanascha krotham parushyam evaja. Ajnanam chabijadasya partha sambandham asuri. So, basically, they come from ajnanam. Isn't it? Avidya in a person. Dambam. Manam, madam. They are in them. It will be very difficult to take it out because of the ajnanam inside, avidya inside. Again, Krishna is coming back to the same point. Kamam ashritya dushpuram dambhamanam adhanida mohat grihitvad asad grahan pravartande ashuchi vradaha. He says like that, isn't it? Pravartande ashuchi vradaha. So, kamam ashritya dushpuram, first thing. Krishna's point is, you can have desires, but you will never be able to completely fulfill it. It's the nature of desire. All desires are like that, isn't it? We all have experience, so many desires come, but we know it's not possible to fulfill it. That's what Krishna is saying here in the first line itself. Kamam ashritya dushpuram. Dushpuram means it can never be fulfilled. From very early in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told us that. Prajahadi yada kaman, sarvan partha manogadat. The answer is not fulfilling the desire. Not to desire is the solution to the problem. Isn't it? And Krishna gives the example that just like you have a ghee lamp burning, but by if you pour ghee on it, it will never stop it. It will keep going further, isn't it? Yatha Krishna Vartmeva Bhuye Eva Abhibadyade. Manu says in the Manuspati, he says here, Najadu Kamaha Kamanam Upabhogena Shamyadi. If you think that all your desires you will fulfill here, and that way you will remove them from inside, that is not possible. That's not possible, fulfilling the desires, because there is no more foolish thing than that. That I will fulfill all my desires and I will in that way come out of the problem. No, it is not possible. Because by experiencing it, it will never get exhausted. What will happen is that after a while, the senses will lose its strength. But the desire to enjoy will remain. That won't go. Senses will become weak. It cannot enjoy anymore. But the desire won't leave. Desire goes the other way. It gets stronger. Senses gets weaker and the desire gets stronger. That is what Krishna is saying here. And Krishna has taught us that previously also, isn't it, about karma, and he spoke about that. You can see certain things, it requires strong teeth to eat certain things. And to eat them, and desire, if you keep on eating that whole life, the old age you want to enjoy it, eating that, but the teeth has gone, all the teeth has lost its strength, many teeth has fallen away, and you can't eat that anymore. When you see them, you still want to eat them, but you can't, because the teeth has gone away. So therefore, Krumananda Varier, he used to say this. He said, before you get old and the teeth fall away, you should give up your desire to eat such things. It's where you need the teeth to eat. So, similarly, he gives the example, he said, if you give up the desire for enjoyment, attachment to that asakti, as Krishna calls it, then if that desire has gone away from inside, then you can escape from here. Otherwise, he says, Krishna, what Krishna is saying here, kamam ashritya dushpuram. Kamam ashritya dushpuram. Then if it is there, if it is unlimited desires inside, then Krishna is saying, if it is there, dambhamanam adanyvidaha. Kamam ashritya dushpuram, dambhamanam adanyvidaha. It will be there. Dambham, manam, madam. Three things will be there. So, dambham, manam, idam. Not only that, he says here, when you have those three, dambham, manam and madam, it will create false ego, strongly inside, ahankaram inside, dambham, manam. And because of that, there will be arrogance. Arrogance inside. And whoever tells you anything, you won't listen. You won't listen. Your attitude will be, why should I listen to you? Who are you to tell me? This attitude will come. This is dambhamanam adanyvidam. Not to take good instructions and to reject everything. That is the dambhamanam. And he says here that because of the then he says here, mohad. It turns into illusion. One who has got this dambham manam madam, that person will be in illusion. He won't be able to make any proper judgment on anything. Because of moham, illusion there. Moham, and because of illusion, what will happen is, mohan grihitva asad grahan. He will go and hold on and take shelter of something which is asat in this world. He will find a shelter there. Like in the... That is what happens to all of us. This is what I was saying last time, that never think that we don't have demonic nature in us. We all have it. We are thinking, oh, I am divine nature. Everybody else has got demonic nature. That's not what Krishna is saying to us. If you are taking shelter of money, if you are taking shelter of society, if you are taking shelter of your own body even, you are demoniac. To that extent, Krishna has specified that there. If I take shelter of my health in my body, thinking that I am strong, my body is strong, and I can depend on this body, and I will be healthy like this, I put my faith in the wrong place. I put my faith in the wrong place. That is demoniac, Krishna is saying. That's asurik vasana, that is. Similarly, if I put faith in the society, friendship and love, in all those things, that because I have such good connections in the society and friends and they are all wealthy and I can make a phone call and they will give me all help, another illusion, that is moham. To put faith in all those things. Similarly, put faith in the money, that you got a lot of money in the bank or assets or whatever it is, and think that when I have so much money, why should I worry? This is all demoniac nature. This is all demoniac nature. Only in Krishna consciousness there is divine nature. There is no other way it is. So these two things, Krishna consciousness and divine nature, is together always. If there is sufficient Krishna consciousness, sufficient surrender and shelter of Krishna, that person will have some divine nature in him. Otherwise not. But one who has put his faith and trust in the body, in the health, in the friends, in the society, and the money and wealth, there is not, that is a demoniac nature. That's important point Krishna is mentioning here. That he saying here, because of that illusion, asat grahan, asat, he is going taking shelter of the friends, society, body, money, everything, which is all asat. You see? That verse is very specific about it. Which one? This last one. Kamamashritya dushpuram. Dambhamana madanyudaha. Mohan grihitvad asat grahan. And after that, all his activities, if you look, it will be pravartande ashuchi vradaha. All his activities also will be impure. Impure lifestyle. If you look into their work and activities, you will see that they are all centered around this very principle. And that is a society, modern society, isn't it? You can see and how it turns out. Asuric nature, banking, industry, how much it has created misery for the people, is it not? So many industries, defense industry, oil industry, so many industries we have started. Not one of them has any connection with divine nature. Every single one of them is this asuric nature, demoniac nature. And then we are all thinking that we are all making a lot of advancement in spiritual life with all this centered around us. What a serious situation that is, isn't it? So, kama vashritya dushpuram, dambham, manam, madanyudaha. These three things you will see in these people who are in that path going up. And mohad, their shelter is all asat. There. And that is why it won't last very long. Sometime in the life, they'll get hit somewhere in life and the whole life is in tatters. Mohan grihitval asad grahan pravartande ashuchi vradaha. They're all together in it. Ashuchi vradam, asad grahyam, moham, kamam, dushpuram. This whole verse works together. They're not separate. The person who has got a lot of kamam, which will be never fulfilled, kamamashraya dushpuram, and because of those desires, dambham, manam, madam, three things will be there, ahankaram inside, dambham, manam, adanivaha. Then because of that, terrible illusion they will be always in the, big illusion, especially sometimes when you see some young people, when you see their moham, that illusion in them, moham. And Krishna is saying here, moham, because of that moham, asad grahayon, they take shelter of the asat things. and their actions also will be accordingly. Pravartande Ashuchi Vradaha. So we have to live very carefully in this world when we live in this life, that unless we take shelter of the divine nature, Krishna's nature, and move away from this demoniac nature, it is very, very difficult. That is what he is saying here. So this thing, asadgrahya, asadgraham you can see in the Bhagavatam also, in few places, asadgraham it says there. Prahlada mentioned this to Hiranyakashipu also. You will see, Prahlada says this to Hiranyakashipu. Tat sadhu manye saravarya dehinam sada samuddhikna diyam asadgrahad, he says. Asuravarya, or best among the demons, he says to him. The son is saying to the father, or best among the demons. Father is happy. So the son is giving me a nice title, isn't it? Best among the demons. He says, Yat sadhu manye asuravarya dehinam. Why? Sada samuddhikna diyam asadgrahad. Because of this asadgrahad, that your activities are always, Hiranyakashipu had so much faith in his power, in his strength, isn't it? That is asadgrahad. So because of that, always anxiety he had. Sada samuddhigna dhyam asadgrahad. Hitu atma pavam graham andha gopam vanam gadoyad harimashrayeta. Famous words in the Bhagavatam. And this is what made Prahlada Prahlada, this verse. That he was able to stand there and say to Hiranyakashipu that you are such a big demon that this is your strength. Your strength is coming from asadgrahad. Itu atma bhavam graham andhakupam. And you are so absorbed in your so-called family life and strength of the family and your connections and contacts and wealth and strength and whatever you had. He says to him, Itu atma bhavam graham andhakupam. In that blind well of material life, you have so absorbed in that. The only solution, he says to him, I can tell you, is vanam gatoyet, leave this whole thing here, go to the forest and take shelter of Krishna. Vanam gatoyet hari ashrayeta, he says to him. So this asadgrahad is a problem with the demoniac nature. So anyone who takes shelter of any of these things in life, whether it is his own healthy body, or whether it's friends and society, or his wealth, whatever it may be, he is all this category, asadgrahad, what he says here. So, so he says to him that for us, Prahlada says to Hiranyakashipu, the best thing is we have got this body, therefore sama sada samuddhigna dhyam asadgrahal. So, all time, our mind and intelligence is always in a disturbed state, mind and intelligence. And what is the reason behind it? Because the reason is asadgrahat. Asadgrahat, isn't it? If you hold on to sat, the mind will become peaceful. If you hold on to asat, mind will move. This is the principle. Mind will get disturbed. Or mind will, movement will start inside, thought waves will build up strongly if you hold on to asat. If you hold on to sat, mind will stay in shanti. It will stay in shanti state. Same, Krishna has spoken that, isn't it? That verse is so important. Nasado vidyade bhavaha, abhavo vidyade sada, ubhayoravi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshivi. Rishis found out this from the very beginning. They understood why the mind is moving because of the connection with the asat. Because of the connection with the asat. So therefore, this fundamental principle of spiritual life will never change. Whichever yoga process you follow, this principle remains. Na sado vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada. Isn't it? So, for example, you can see any amount of time you can look at your life, you can see this happening. You went shopping, you found a very expensive nice sari, you bought it. Tomorrow you go to shop, you'll find another better one than that. That's the way it works. So you want to have that next one, isn't it? So similarly, how long can we keep on fulfilling the desires? When will it come to an end? So that is why in order to come out of that, one who takes shelter of the Asuri Sambat, for him it is not possible. That is what Krishna is saying there. Etam drashti avastabhyam nashtalpmana alpabuddhaya prabhavandi ugrakarmanam kshayayam kshayayam jagadohidaha kshayayam jagadohidaha. So, he says that etam drashtim avastabhyam ashritya nashta alpmano nashta svabhavaha vibhrashta paraloka sadhanaha paraloka sadhanaha. That means, Ajarya Swamiji's Bhashyam on that is, he's saying here, etam drishtyam avashtabhyam ashritya nashta alpmano nashta svabhavaha vibhrashta paraloka sadhanaha. What it means is, he says, the body is leaving us. The body is leaving us at one point, isn't it? It will leave us one day, which we never think about it, that it's going to leave us. And because of that, the sadhana, which is what he calls it as here, as vibhrashta paraloka sadhana, paraloka sadhana is saying here, which means that doing things, not realizing that what you are doing here will have an effect on you at the time of leaving the body. That is what it is. Paraloka sadhana means taking that sadhana, what is necessary in life. We have to perform certain sadhana here so that when we exit this body, we get a proper direction to go. So, paraloka sadhana, who has lost it? So, normally, people who knows this science well, that at the time of leaving this body, I should live in a good consciousness. Is it not? In order to live in a good consciousness, I have to live a good life now. If I live a life of cheating, lying and exploiting others, and engage in all kinds of what Krishna calls it as the asuric activities, what will happen to me? At the time of death, I will have those vasanas very strongly present in me. So those who have forgotten this principle and engaged in demoniac activities here, Krishna is saying here, in the Bhashyam also he says here, those who have lost this vibhrashta paraloka sadhana. This is the paraloka sadhana. That means to live a proper life now in this world, so that while exiting this world, you can live in a good consciousness. But if we engage in demoniac activities now here, always thinking about me and mine and my personal happiness in this world, not willing to sacrifice for anything for Krishna consciousness, that person at the time of death, he doesn't have a proper sadhana here, which is called paraloka sadhana. Paraloka sadhana means sadhana for preparing for death while leaving this body. That is called paraloka sadhana. So that paraloka sadhana, when he doesn't have vibhrashtaha, he has already given up that. Vibhrashtaha, he has moved away from that. Therefore, he will suffer. That is Krishna's point. Evam ashritya dushpuram. So here, etam drishtyam avastabhyam nashtalpmano alpabuddhayaha prabhavandi ugrakarmanam. And alpabuddhayaha himsalmakaha. And then he will do things in such a way. That means you've got to be so careful and frightened about it, that at the time of death, those karma what I have executed in my life, they do not come back and haunt me at the time of death. So if things have happened in life like that, the only answer is to switch as quickly as possible from that life. So, so you can see that that will develop into such activities that you will lose any fear of giving trouble to others, exploiting others, cheating others, things like that. And that is what Krishna is saying is ugrakarmanam, ugrakarmanaha, kshayayam jagadohita. You can see how things like terrorism has built up in this world, isn't it? It's a modern phenomenon in a big scale happening. And they are seeing how it works in Afghanistan. You must have seen this in the television. They give guns to small children, 8 years, 10 years old. They are trained up how to use the gun. They are given like that. And teaching them how to kill. Himsa, violence towards them. That is what it is. Prabhandi ugragarmala kshayayam jagadohida. So, all these things, people who have got asuric nature, they will do such things without being prompted from anybody. That is asuric nature it is. Is it not? You can see, how would you justify this? Giving guns to children and telling them to shoot and getting them involved in the war. It's everywhere happens. In Africa it happens, Afghanistan it has happened, it happened in Sri Lanka, in many, many places. All these things happen. So asuric nature works like that. There is no rules for them. Nothing in their functions. Everything is acceptable. What suits them, that's the role. And still you can see, with all their asuric nature, they didn't make it. They didn't come out. They have difficulties. So in other words, what Krishna is saying here, asuri sambhati is like that. And if you have this asuric nature, your spiritual journey won't go further. This is the difficulty. If this asuric nature is inside us, our spiritual journey, it's difficult to move further in the proper way. So, you may see why we are saying all these things in the satsangam is like that, because these things should go inside and see the gravity of the situation. So, suppose we have some vasana to do something in this world, our drishti, our vision, will not go inwards. It won't go inwards. Andarmukhatam won't happen. Andarmukhatam happen. And because the whole society, what you are looking at, is upside down. Isn't it? See, you can, from this modern society, what spiritual instructions can you take? From this modern society, what we are living today, from this society, what spiritual instructions can you take from here? It's such a disaster that is. So, particularly when you see that asuric nature there, and you know very well that is nothing you can do about it, and as we mentioned here, that these desires, what has happened there, kama mashritya dushpuram dambhamanam adanvidaha mohan grihitvan asadgrahan pravartande ashuchi vradaha, isn't it? So, that is the important principle Krishna has spoken there in that verse. And he also mentions there that this desiring business, you can see how far it can go. That fulfilling the desires is concerned, it is endless. It is endless. Kama mashritya dushpuram, isn't it? You can try any amount of time, it will never come to an end. Asadgrahad. You can see in the caves of Alexander the Great. He says he went on invading country after country after country. And finally, he realized that he invaded one country and then he moved on to the next country, the one which he has invaded before. They have declared independence from him. They lost it. So, finally, he traveled all the way from Greece right up to Ganga River in Bharatvarsham. And there he met a yogi. And he was talking to this yogi about it. And finally he decided that I'm not going to go anymore doing this. But then his time was finished. He had no more time left in his life. So at that time, what he understood from that yogi who taught him a lesson from that, he says to that yogi, he says to him, I've learned a great lesson. To learn that, he had to travel all the way from Greece, all right up to the Ganga River, that you cannot invade anything and control here. It is not possible. And there, that is why he says here that when I met this particular yogi whom he met there, he says to him, I have been so foolish that there is an empire outside, I thought, he said. I thought there is an empire is outside. But the yogi taught me that the empire is inside, not outside. Not outside. and they are calling me great. Alexander the Great, isn't it? What is my greatness? He saying, what is my greatness? More greater than this Alexander is that person who has taken the spiritual life seriously, and he has gone inwardly towards that world inside, where he has a higher, deeper penetration into that world. He is the greatest person, not Alexander. Alexander said while going back that when you take my dead body to the for burial, keep my both hands open, he said, so that let people know here is a man who came to this world trying to invade every country and finally leaving this world carrying nothing with him. He himself instructed this to his men to follow in that way. So you can understand that that demonic nature ends up like this. The end of all demoniac activities are like that, like the Alexander's case. Kamamashritya Dushpuram Dambhamanam Adanvidaha Mohan Grihitvat Asadgrahan Pravartande Ashuchi Pradaha. Ashuchi Pradaha. So what is driving them to do that? Moham. Moham. Illusion. Illusion, that is. That is why it says Mohad Grihitvat, isn't it? So if you ask them who is driving you behind it, they don't know. They also won't know. That is the interesting thing. If you ask these people, what actually is driving you to do all these things? Where are you getting your strength from? They don't know. It is there, inside, isn't it? So, people have all sorts of ideas, isn't it? Like that. Sometimes people do all sorts of funny things. If you ask them why you are doing that, or I want my name in the Guinness Book of Records. And they'll find something new to do it for that purpose, isn't it? So if you get your name in the Guinness Book of Records, you can get good sleep. You get anything better? No. So it is like this, that nothing in this world is an achievement. That's the first thing to understand. There is no achievement in the outside world. There's no achievement in the outside world. Suppose now here there's about 15 people sitting here listening to Bhagavad Gita. Instead, 50,000 people sat here and listened to it. How will it make a difference? If I get sick, will that help me? No, it won't help. So similarly, Krishna is saying here, a small thing is sufficient that all your so-called plans and projects can collapse any moment. And whether you do this way or that way, nothing is going to solve the problems is concerned. All your achievements in the outside world is a total waste of time. It's a total waste of time. But still I have this illusion that I have to do so many things in this world. And I have to build many big palaces. And why? Because everybody should know that I have built those buildings. And sometimes you can see this comes out among the big people, isn't it? They want to build huge temples also. And in that way. And sometimes you can see Shah Jahan built his Taj Mahal for the memory of his wife, isn't it? And they were saying to him that he was such a great person, Shah Jahan, who built it. The only thing is what he did was, after building that, he cut the hands of the person. Oh, this is the type of people they are. So that he won't build another one like that. Imagine that ajnanam inside. That avidya inside, you can see. These are the people who are worshipped in this world. We are saying, amazing, Shah Jahan, he built Taj Mahal. But this is what he has done at the end. So can you imagine anything more horrendous than that? That horrible mind behind that working. Person who has done that work for him, he cuts his hands off so he doesn't do it again. So this is what Krishna calls it as that demonic nature, asuri sambhata, isn't it? When a nice flower opens up and then you see the beauty, you see Krishna there, Krishna's presence in that, isn't it? So Tamavana Swamiji used to say this, he says that realized souls, for them happiness is all those things. Always seeing Krishna's presence in things, in the nature, in a natural way. And one who has got desire in that way, to see the beauty of Krishna's beauty operating in this world, and if they cannot find, they have to find it, they will even go to the forest and spend their time there. And so he says here that avijnadagadeer jandhva navedida udahrida. Srimad Bhagavatam says, so wherever they go, they will notice this Asuri Sambhata. Asuri Sambhata means this, that they will observe Asuri Sambhata, realized souls, they will move away from that. In a natural way, they will stay away from the Asuri Sambhata. That is a symptom of that self-realization. In a natural way, they will move away from the Asuri Sambhata. And so, you can say that this Asuri Sambhata is there in our own mind, in spiritual life. We shouldn't think that, oh, I become a devotee, so there is no Asuri Sambhata in me. That's the wrong thing to think. Asuri Sambhata is in everyone to some degree, unless it's been taken out by Krishna consciousness. So, one spiritual master told his disciple that while he was leaving his body, I had a big desire in me, he said, whole life. What was that? When I die, you should build one of my half body, what they call it, the bust, isn't it, part, and install it. So, half that thing, isn't it? So, here, you can see this in so many places, big people, we install them like this. So, so this thought came to him at the time of death. This is what he wanted, and he tells his disciple to do this, to do this. So, some useless things, if you have that demonic nature inside, it will create some useless things like this inside us, and it will come out at the time of death. This is what will happen. Can you imagine? He was a spiritual master and he has told his disciple, I had this desire in me. And it didn't leave him. So what happened? When he knew it was going to leave the body, he tells his disciple. Now what will that disciple would have thought about it? If he has told this to him. So this is what happens. That's what Krishna is saying here. Kama Mahashritya Dushpuram Dembhamana Madanvida Mohan Grihitvad Asagrahan Pravartande Ashuchi Prada. So if this can happen in a spiritual master-disciple relationship like this, if it can happen, would it be nice to take shelter of such people? That's the question, isn't it? So this is happening everywhere with many, many gurus also. This issue is there for their own advancement, recognition in this world, followers and all that. And these useless disciples also run around for, because of this guru's desires. It's affected by them. They are doing exactly the same thing. That is what it says here. That beliyasi says beliyasi, that powerful thing in the Vitrigita, it says beliyasi, that powerful desire inside, yes. Kastvam koham kuta ayada kame janani kame tada. Ajari Swamiji is saying here, like, where have you come from? Where are you going? Kastvam koham, who am I? Without any of this inquiry, we are developing all these kind of desires, that I should have my statue installed somewhere after death and instructing that to his disciples to collect money and do that for me. Please, if you want to. He says to them, Kama Mahashritya Dushpuram, he says. So, like this you can see, no goal, proper goal in life, and no proper understanding of life, done a lot of things, and built a lot of things in this world, lot of money was created in that process. Ashuji Vradaha, Ashuji Vradaha, he says, Asal Grahan Pravartande Ashuji Vradaha, and done a lot of nonsense in this world without proper any understanding, and this is what is called Ashuchi Vratam. Ashuchi Vratam means without any proper understanding of Shastram, doing things based on mind. some desire in me, so I start doing that and very fixed on that. That is called Ashuchi Vratam. So you can see sometimes people, when they want to destroy something, planting the bombs is not an easy thing, isn't it? But ultimately all that is that somehow or other to destroy things in this world. So all this is, isn't that asurik vasana? And such a person who has got this kind of asurik vasana, his mind will never be in a shanti state. He'll never be in the shanti state. And his thoughts will be continuously in a constant flow of thoughts will be happening inside. Krishna is saying here, that is a symptom of that person. A person who has got this asurik vasana, his mind will be full of thought waves. And the thought waves will be in a constant flow all the time, will happen, total disturbance in other words. And even though some of them will be very intelligent, they may be intelligent, but if because of their this asurik vasana inside, at the very end of their life, they will have problems, psychic disorder, things like that will happen to them. There's so many people who are like that. They're intelligent people, but the asuri vasana is inside. Because of the asuri vasana inside, they could never have any shanti in life. And because there was no shanti in life, their life was very disturbed. And then they did so many things, wrong things in life. Ultimately, either they kill themselves or they get involved in some situation like that. Because mind is difficult to stop, that mind. Like this, you know, these radios, when they get damaged. In India, they used to be like that for a long time. There'll be, if you play one radio station, so many other stations also will come along with that. So suppose you keep Manchester, London will come. That way the radios used to work like that, isn't it? Or sometimes, suppose somebody is using the grinder in the next door, that noise also will come through the radio. Similarly, our mind will become like that. We'll be thinking about something, so many other thought waves will come in the middle. The mind will become like that. Chittavritti, full of chittavritti and the mind. And sometimes you can see in the old days when this ambassador car was there as taxis. As soon as you get into the taxi, he will switch on his radio. The taxi driver feels he has to entertain you. And he will shoot some Bollywood movies or something like songs. He will put it on. And he thinks that you are enjoying it. He just wants some peace from all this city's crowd and the noise and the all the hell there. So if you tell him to switch it off, he says, I can't switch it off. Even if I switch it off, it's not stopping. It will continue to play. The radio will continue to play. Then you will start thinking, what can I do? The mind is like that. You try to switch it off, it won't stop. It will keep working. Like that radio in the ambassador car. It is like that. It will work like a perfect example for that. Suppose you try to switch it off, you can't switch it off also. It keeps working. And that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. If you look, you will see one or two verses, he is saying the same thing. He says that after explaining this, asurik vasana, Krishna is saying to us that it is something where you have no control over it. The nature of this asurik vasana. That it will come in the form of chittavritti, and chittavritti you have no control. Like this radio, it keeps coming from all stations will come, and you feel completely victimized by that. Look at that verse. Chindam aparimeyam cha.
Chindam aparimeyam cha.
Pralayantam upashritaha.
Pralayantam upashritaha.
Kamo bhaboga paramaha.
Kamo bhaboga paramaha.
Edavad idi nischitaha.
Edavad idi nischitaha.
Chinda aparimeyam cha.
Chinda aparimeyam cha.
Pralayantam upashritaha. Kamo bhaboga paramaha.
Kamo bhaboga paramaha.
एतावद् इति निश्चिताः. नेक्स्ट् वन्
आशापाशशदैर्बद्धा
कामक्रोधपरायणाः इहन्ते कामभोगार्थम् अन्येयेनार्थसञ्चयन् आशापाशशदैर्बद्धा कामक्रोधपरायणा इहन्ते कामभोगार्थम् अन्येयेनार्थसञ्चयन्. Yeah, those two verses. Krishna is saying of a person in the Asurik Vasana, what state of mind he is. Chinda Aparimeyam cha Pralayandam Upashridaha Kamobha Bhoga Paramaha Edavad Idi Nishchidaha. Then Ashapasha Shadair Baddhaha Kama Krotha Parayanaha Ihande Kama Bhogartha Anye Yen Artha Sanjayan. So, Krishna felt the necessity to say a little bit more about the asuric nature. Because sometimes we get this false understanding that we are all divine nature. This is the problem. That is why Krishna decided to explain that. Initially, Krishna had no plans to explain the demonic nature. Krishna said to Arjuna, if it is sufficient, if you know the divine nature. But then he realized that if I only said this divine nature, people will think that we are all, I am divine nature. Everybody else is only the demonic nature. Krishna says, no. When you study very scrutinizingly this demonic nature, you can see that it is in us. It's not in others. It's in us. Very much so. It is there in us. Because when you look at the characteristics of that demonic nature, it's a strong indication that we have that influence in us. So, here you will see, Chindam Aparimeyam cha, Krishna is saying, the first thing. Chindam Aparimeyam cha Pralayantam Upashridaha Kamobha Bhoga Parama Edavadini Nishchida Ashapasha Shaderu Baddha Kamakrotha Parayana Ihande Kama Bhogartham Anye Yenavta Sanchay. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So, that is that demonic concept. How they accept the enjoyment, Prabhupada's purports are very strong in all these verses. Very strongly Prabhupada is used these purports to tell the world that how strong is the demoniac society today is. When he was writing these purports, many devotees liked these purports very much. These purports, particularly about this demonic nature, the language is very strong and direct conveying the message what Krishna has spoken. Very strongly he has spoken about that. So it has helped a lot of devotees, opened up their eyes, that demonic nature. But sometimes some mistakes devotees have also made. The mistakes was this: they thought because we are devotees, this asuric nature is not in us. That was the mistake they made. They thought like that. But why Krishna is, when we read this chapter, that's the most important thing we have to take note of. That this asuric vasana, what Krishna is talking about, is in everybody. Almost all. Unless one has completely come to pure Krishna consciousness, pure devotee status. Till then, this asuric vasana will be there. It can be there and it will come out when it gets the right opportunity. We may justify it later. That's another thing. After doing what we want. Because that itself is the nature of asuric vasana. We'll do something and we'll justify it. I've done the right thing. That is asuric vasana. So that is why Krishna spoke these things. In order for us to properly understand what asuric vasana means. Because if you don't understand, how will you make the judgment correctly? isn't it? So these are all symptoms of that asuripasana. Chindau abarimeyam cha pralayanta upashridaha kamo bhavogavaramaha edavadini nishchidaha. Then ashabasha shader baddha kama krotha parayanaha ihande kama hogartham anye anartha sanchayet. Very wonderful way of saying things. So Krishna is saying here that the important thing is not to get caught up in this, these two verses. That's what the verse is saying. Chindau abhirimeyam cha. That means chittavritti must come down. There's no other way. You can say anything you like in spiritual life, but if chittavritti doesn't come down, this is a symptom of this asuri vasana. Chindau abhirimeyam cha. Pralayantam upashridaha. Krishna is saying here, removing this chittavritti from inside and fixed in knowledge of the self and self-realization. That is what is expected from us in spiritual life. This is expected from us in spiritual life, to remove chittavritti and to be in shanti and peace. If that is not there, you can't claim that you are in spiritual life. You may be doing millions of things in this world, but if there is no shanti inside, always disturbed, angry, and always fighting against the modes of nature, and constantly being driven by the desires, what spiritual life is that? That's not spiritual life. So shanti is the symptom of a person who is in spiritual life. So that's why he's saying this is spoken to us only to make us aware that if you have a lot of thought waves, you shouldn't allow that to build up inside in the first instance. Secondly, he says here, kamo bhoga paramaha. Why so many thought waves coming? Because of desires, isn't it? Kamo bhoga paramaha. Lot of desires to enjoy. And he says there, etavadini nishchidaha. Your decision is based on that, your life in this world. It's not based on the decision for self-realization, like he mentioned in the second chapter. Yeah. It's not vyasayalmiya buddhi, but here the nishchayam is kamobha bhoga parama edavadidi nishchida. You made a decision that to enjoy life here, whether you are in the spiritual life or not doesn't matter. But your decision is wrong, edavadidi nishchida. Because you have decided like that, kamobha bhoga parama edavadidi nishchidaha, therefore you have this problem of chindam abhirimeyam cha, unlimited chinta. Thought waves inside, and because of that, pralayantam upashridaha, that has happened in that way. And Krishna, next verse, Krishna is saying, ashapasha shadair bandhaha, that hundreds and thousands of asha and pasham, desires and bondage due to that. Desire means bondage, isn't it? Desire means attachment and desire, and then from bondage. Ashapasha shadair bandhaha. And when they don't get fulfilled, what happens? Kama krodha parayanaha. You get absorbed in the less desires and anger from that. Kama krodha parayanaha. Then he says here, ihande kama bhogartham anyayanartha sanjaya. Anyayanartha sanjaya. And once this kama bhogam, fulfillment of desires, has become the goal, eda vanartha sanjaya. He says there, anyayanartha sanjaya. You will forget every other values of life and you will do anything to make money to fulfill that desires. Anye yanartha sanchaya. Krishna says like that. So that is the two important verses only spoken to remind us the nature of a person who has got asurik vasana and how his mind works. How his mind works. So in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Acharya Swamiji gave Bhagavad Gita a special title, Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam. It's a famous word he has used there. No other literature in the Vedic tradition has got this title. Acharya Swamiji hasn't given to any other book this one title. Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam. Means Samastha Vedartha, that means all Vedic literature. If you take that, the essence of that, if you further squeeze it out of that, samasta veda artha saram, and it is spoken in the most palatable way, in such a way, and presented to us, Sara Sangraha Bodham, that is Bhagavad Gita. That is Bhagavad Gita. And in the 16th chapter, it's called Deva Asura Sambat Vibhaga Yoga. Isn't it? That's the title. Divine and the Demoniac Nature. So, here, Devasura Sambad Vibhaga Yoga, that's the title. Now, here we have to understand that we live in a religion or whatever we call it. Religion is one thing, Vedantam is another thing. They are not same thing. Religion is one thing, Vedantam is another thing. Religion means, generally, in the society, most of the people recognize it. They recognize it, isn't it? Religion. They recognize it. And they believe that I'm going to the temple, so I'm religious. I'm included in that crowd, whoever goes to the temple. And they go there and pray there at the temple, their difficulties, their problems of life, all these things. That is called religion. And that religion, but Vedantam is different. Vedantam is different. Bhakti, Jnanam, Karmam. Bhakti Yogam, Jnana Yogam. All these things are Vedantam. You see? That is why we have to be very specific about it. Not to get mixed up all these things. Religion is this, that you go to the temple, we have make some participate in some programs there, or take some prasadam and leave. That is generally a religious life. Religious life. You accept the authority, accept the deities, you go there, pay your respects, come home. But that hasn't changed your life. It's that you are doing it, what your parents have done, grandparents have done, and we are doing it, and we'll tell children also you should do it. That's all. That is not Vedantam. This is religion. This is religion. So, Vedantam is different. In Vedantam, we have Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam. That's all Vedantam it is. All three of them are Vedantam. Because when you are not satisfied with what religion is offering in life, so at a point comes in life that if you become a little bit progressed in spiritual path, natural way, this religion won't satisfy you. It won't make you satisfied in spiritual life. It is at that point that you can see there, religion or matam, they call it, is in a religion. All you have to do is to believe in something. That's all what is required, isn't it? And you believe, oh, I believe in this. I believe in going to the temple. I believe going there. And you will stay where you are. You won't go further from there. Mm-hmm. That is religion. That is religion. It's good enough. I just go to the temple. I see the deities. And I may make some donation to the temple. Or I may participate in some program to some extent. And I feel that is enough for me. There are many people like that. You may have seen that. In the temple also you will see them. They'll come for some programs. And they feel that they have done their bit. Nothing more than that. That is religion. That is religion. They won't go another step further than that. And their conviction is that they are not expecting anything more than that. Some problem comes in life, they have complete faith in their capacity, ability. And if some problem comes in life, they feel that they can take shelter at the temple. So many people like that. If you go into the temple and look at it, you will see so many in that category. That's what we get mostly. Mostly people are like that. But Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya. Its difference is there, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya. And also you can see at the end of every chapter in the original Bhagavad Gita, you'll see Bhagavad Gita Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastra. It says it's Yoga Shastra. Not only Brahma Vidya, it is Yoga Shastra. That is how Krishna and Arjuna discussed Bhagavad Gita. not as religion. It was not discussed as religion. If it was religion, Krishna could have said to Arjuna, Arjuna, you should go to temple every Sunday when you have a bit of a time and have a darshan and have a feast and go home. That's enough, Arjuna. I don't think you should waste a lot more time than that. No, that is religion it is. So from there you can understand Bhagavad Gita is not religion. Bhagavad Gita is Vedantam it is. Bhagavad Gita is Vedantam. And in that Vedantam, which is based on the Siddhantam, different Acharyas have spoken, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Advaitam and everything. So, but at the same time, when you feel that this religion is not sufficient in life, only when you come to that stage that you will come to Vedantam. You will come to Vedantam. Vivekananda Swamiji used to say this. What he used to say this was this, that religion is the manifestation of a perfection that is already there in a man. Suppose that means you are not critical of that. You don't criticize them. At least they are going to the temple. That means he recognizes a higher authority. And that's why he's going to the temple. And he is paying his respects to the deity. That means he has reached that far in life, in his human body, that much perfection he has got, and the expression of that perfection is religion in him. That level, at that level. Isn't it? But, and that means the little perfection what a human body has got is expressed through the religious process. But what is difficult here is that Vedantam does not stop there. Vedantam tells us that your whole body is given to you for realizing a higher truth. So you can see where the shift happens between religion and Vedantam. Religion is satisfied if you just go to the temple, do your rituals, whatever ritual we are doing there. You do your rituals, pay your respects and come home. You feel satisfied, that means you are a religious person. But Vedantam is saying to us, that is not good enough. It is something more than that in spiritual life, because there is a much higher purpose which you can achieve through this body. And that is what all about in the Vedantam. It says like that, isn't it? So, so because it is like that, that difference between matam or religion and Vedantam, therefore when we go for satsangam, or when we go to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to keep this in mind all the time, that you should always be very inquisitive. Jijnyasa should be there. And otherwise, when you go in to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you should not go like the way you go to the temple. When you go to the temple, you just have already defined program. You're going to do this things at the temple. You will see many people, you can see. They can't take to satsangam. They have a difficulty there. Because their expectations are not much in spiritual life. They don't have that. And some of your own friends may be in that category. If you observe carefully, you will see this. And that much is sufficient. That is sufficient. But when you go to satsangam, that is not enough. That is not enough. That is, this chapter is trying to bring that out very clearly to us. Krishna is saying here, when you are going to hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, you got to go deeper. You can't stay on the surface forever, thinking that, oh, in the temple I am going, in the same way I am going to satsangam. No, you can't do like that. Temple and satsangam offers two different things. Temple offers you to participate in a religious process. And there are sometimes some temples offer you opportunity for satsangam also. It depends again. But purpose of satsangam, the way to approach a satsangam and the benefits of the satsangam is different than when you visit a temple and what you achieve from the temple. What you achieve from the temple. So, because it is like that, jijnyasa is important. Inquisitiveness is important in satsangam. It is important in satsangam. And because here in satsangam, we can't discuss religion in the satsangam. In satsangam, the goal is self-realization, knowledge of the self, is it not? Knowledge of the self and escaping from this material existence. So all the goals when you come to the satsangam is different than the goals when you go to the temple. When you go to the temple, many of the people don't have, either they have some distress in life, suffering various ways. You can see this when you look at the people, you will observe this. They have come because they have distress in life. So they have someone to tell their distress to. And Krishna standing, smiling, listening to all our difficulties in life. Whether it is marriage, we want to make sure that it doesn't collapse tomorrow. At least that day, when we go in front of the deity, we pray to Krishna, at least this works out somehow. Even though it may or may not work out, Krishna is smiling still. Or we bought a new car, I don't go and crash somewhere the next day. At least 5 good years life, let me get out of it, before after investing all the money. Or I bought a new house which doesn't get flooded in the weather. So a lot of thoughts are there in people's head, in all sorts of problems. Problem with the children, that they are not listening, they are going in the wrong way. So many mothers you see in them always complaining to Krishna that my children have become like this, what shall I do about them? They are going in the wrong way, and whether they are initiated Prabhupada's disciples or a non-initiated ordinary man from the street, Krishna has to listen to both. There is no difference there. As far as Krishna is concerned, he is listening to both. And they all, that is all religion. There is nothing more than that. There are so many parents who suffer because of the problems in life in different ways. Then there is a health problem. So many problems in the health. Wife is suffering, husband is suffering. Therefore, a lot of time, hospitals visits, medicine, this will happen, that will happen. What can you do? Prarabdham doesn't let you go easily. So all this is part of religion. It has nothing to do. Those things are not meant for discussion in the satsangam. Satsangam is about the truth. Inquiry about the truth. So this clear demarcation between religion and Vedantam is necessary in spiritual life. Otherwise we won't move further. As long as you are on the religious life, you will remain where you are. You won't go one inch further till you come to this Vedantic understanding. So, which requires jitnyasa, inquisitiveness, isn't it? So, first thing is, when you come to spiritual life or to satsangam is, that the goal of life is self-realization. This is to be the goal, not our fulfillment of all my problems of life, solution or other desires what I have got to fulfill. I have to leave them behind. We have to leave them behind, otherwise it is useless. But unfortunately what we do is we mix these two, religion and Vedantam together, and then we get into trouble. And by and large religion will overpower, will take control of the situation, and quietly all the Vedantam will go. And they think that Vedantam is also for this purpose, to solve all my problems of home, of my health problem or wealth problem or whatever other problems I got. I started seeing that Vedantam is for that purpose. You can't look at Vedantam and Satsangam in that way. That's not possible. So, and that is why, so only if that goal is very clear inside, only then Satsangam will benefit. Satsangam will benefit. And so this is for this reason, primarily ashrams were built by the sannyasis separately for this purpose. For this purpose alone, ashrams were built by the sannyasis, so that householders, after living through their household life, after suffering and going through all the miseries of material existence, when they have come to their senses, they have a place where they can come and find a proper understanding of life and free themselves from the evil effects of religion. Evil effects of the religion. Because householders generally, you know what they do, don't you? Without explanations, it's possible. So, what we are looking for is there any solution to the problems of my householder life? This is what every householder is looking at. He's looking for that, isn't it? So, some people will go to astrologers. Some people will go to these people who give you these different gems and stones and things like that, isn't it? There's no point in criticizing them because they do not know that they have got problems, burning problems inside, and they're looking for a solution. So naturally they'll go anywhere, wherever they can find it. They'll go to the temple and they'll go to astrologer also. So they're saying, if Krishna can't do it, if astrologer may be able to do it. Yeah. And he's willing to spend any money. Who can solve my problem? That's the question though. Those people, they won't find it very interesting, Salsangam. Salsangam won't help them. That's why they'll sit in Salsangam and after a few minutes they will close their eyes. They'll fall asleep. Because you're not offering any solution to his problem. Any offering to his problem. Sometimes, I got involved in this class business. Some people have asked me some strange questions. I have to tell you that. One person asked me, do you do marriages? I said, I know that's a very lucrative business, I said. People ask me this question, do you do marriages? It's not their fault, because that's how we have presented it to them, spiritual life. Why can you blame them for that? I felt so sorry and I felt so depressed also, that if this is what they were looking forward to from these things, from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you can understand how desperate the situation is, isn't it? And they also asked me sometime, this was long ago, they said, do you do this name giving ceremony? You know, things like that. And do you bless cars? And things like that. So, you got to deal with all these people. You got to deal with all these people. So, important thing is, when such people, I had to joke also with them, isn't it? Yeah. So, when they said about car bless ceremony, I told one man, I said to him that, you take a good insurance policy for the car. That's all I can tell you. I can't say anything more than that, because my blessing won't help you. But if you have a proper insurance, you'll be covered. If you have a problem, I said to him that. And see what happens, I said. So, here the important thing is, Salsangam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is for self-realization. This we have to get ourselves very clear. We shouldn't approach Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam with solving my problems at home. That we have to leave it behind, that we have to know. If you have understood anything from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, this is what we have to understand first. That my prarabdham will bring whatever it has to come. And that's not going to leave me. It will be there. Till the last minute, it will be there. As long as I have this material body, it will bring one problem or the other. And in the householder life, it will be there throughout life. It will never leave us. Today, it will give you one day peace, and the next day there will be trouble. In householder life is like that. So we just have to learn how to move out of this and take the benefit of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from a different level altogether. I can't find a solution to all my material problems in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita won't offer that, or neither Srimad Bhagavatam there. So, and that is why that the first thing they say is that the very root cause of all the problems is avidya in me, or ajnanam. Remember, Krishna mentions that. Dambam darpobhi manascha krodham parushyamevaja ajnanam chabijadasya partha sampadam asurim. My asuric nature, which is born from ajnanam, is the cause of all the problems. So, till I get rid of that ajnanam within me, I have no solution to the problems, what I have got. And that root cause, mula karanam, they call it, is this ajnanam. Ayurvedam will say like this, body, when we refer to the body, the root cause is, they say, vatam pittam kapham, air, bile and mucus, tridosham, they call it, tridosham. Like we say trigunam, they say tridosham. Vedantam says to us,
there is only one dosham. Ayurvedam says there is three dosham, vadam, pittam, kapham. Their unbalanced state is three dosham. Vedantam says, egeha, what is that dosham? Dosham is ajnanam. Ajnanam is the dosham. And Krishna has concluded that in the very beginning itself and told us that why you are blaming me? That is why that verse, nasado vidyade bhavo, in the beginning itself, Krishna spoke that. He said, if you have not understood this verse, don't go further from here in the Bhagavad Gita. It won't help you. Because the answer, Krishna is saying, to all our problems is ajnanam or avidya. What is that avidya? Not knowing that satya is permanent, asat is temporary. And sat cannot become asatya, asat cannot become satya. This is the important thing. Na sado vidyade bhavaha, na bhavo vidyade sadaha. Ubhayorabhi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshibhi. This is the very fundamental principle of spiritual life. If that is not accepted, any other spiritual understanding you develop is all a waste. Because it's based on this very fundamental truth. So Krishna is saying here that if you accept that, then you go further in the Bhagavad Gita. So here we blame Krishna, why you have done this to me? I want to study Bhagavad Gita, but you are giving me trouble like this. Krishna says, don't link that with this. These are two different things. Because we are not prepared to study Bhagavad Gita properly. That's our greatest problem. And people say, I have read Bhagavad Gita, I have studied Bhagavad Gita. They say like this. And then sometimes they will quote Krishna also from the Bhagavad Gita. They'll say, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? They say like this. They say, you have to do your duty. Isn't it? They say like that. And I can go and do any nonsense and say that Krishna has told me to do my duty and I'm doing that. And so am I not following Krishna? This is their logic behind it. Isn't it? And they have made Bhagavad Gita very simple in that way, by making it like that. But, and you can see that often in many places you will see these people take Bhagavad Gita, one verse or one poster, and they'll put it up at home saying that they have, to give an impression that they have read Bhagavad Gita, they have understood Bhagavad Gita, or they are following Bhagavad Gita. So, often they will quote this saying that Krishna wants us to do our duty, and that is the responsibility. Nothing else Krishna has spoken. And if one who has studied Bhagavad Gita properly, he can understand that there is no reference to duty anywhere. Krishna has spoken never about duty. In reality, Krishna says, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, na kartrutvam na cha karmani logasya srijati prabhu, he says there. Remember that? So important verse. So those who are talking about this duty, 5th chapter, 14th verse. Na kartrutvam na cha karmani logasya srijati prabhu, he says. So, na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartade. What an important verse it is. And when this verse is there, how dare people say to us their duty? See that verse? Na kartrutvam na cha karmani logasya srijati prabhu na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartade. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. Krishna is talking about embodied spirit, which is Atma, Krishna. Krishna has never spoken that no kartrutvam in us. In other words, what he is expecting from us is no kartrutvam, not kartrutvam. Whereas those who are saying duty are those who are propagating kartrutvam. Is it not? So, na kartrutvam, this verses we must be very thorough with it. Because if somebody comes up and tells you about duty, take this verse and show it to them. And tell them, where does Krishna say that duty? Na kartrutvam. And what else? Na karmani. Karmam is also not there. It is all not a part of the soul. Neither kartrutvam nor karmam is a part of the soul. What else? Lokasya srajati prabhu. And he does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act. Atma does not induce us to act. What induces us to act? Vasana inside us. That is what is forcing us to act. So, Atma, from the platform of the soul, I have no kartrutvam, I have no karmam, and Atma does not also induce me to act. None of them exist in me. And Logasya Sajati Prabhu, what else? Na karma bhalasam yogam. That suppose I have done some karmam, it is not due to my karmam that the result is coming. This you can see in life. Two people are working, doing the same job. One person, he gets a lot more results than the other person. And then we say, why, it's very unfair. Yes, it is unfair, but what can you do? Na karma phalasam yogam. Why is it like that? Svabhavastu pravartade. Krishna is saying, svabhavam is working in this world. Don't link karmam and the result. Don't link them together. Ma karma phalasam yogam. Svabhavastu pravartade. These are all fundamental principles of life in this world. If you don't accept all these things, and instead you say that you have studied Bhagavad Gita, then what does it mean? What does it mean then? And if you don't accept all these things and still keep on doing things in this world, expecting results to come according to desire, and then praying to Krishna that you are not giving me the results what I've been praying, and then if Krishna is smiling at us when we do that, can you blame Krishna for that? So this is the nature of spiritual life, you see. Whereas this won't apply to a person who is having religious life. One who follows religion, he won't be knowing all these things, isn't it? He won't take notice of this verse. He will simply think, Krishna is there, I have a lot of things to fulfill desire in me, and I'm suffering, he has to give me a solution to my misery. I'm suffering due to what? My own desires inside. And also due to my prarabdham, which has come in different forms. And Krishna cannot help me on that. So why should I become Krishna conscious? They will ask this. Yes, it's no point in becoming Krishna conscious that way. You become Krishna conscious like the way Krishna says this to us about this. Na karma, na kartrutvam, na karmani, logasya srajati prabhu, na karma bhalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartade. So, basic point Krishna is making there, that there is no kartrutvam in you, ownership to do anything, and there is no karmam in you. Kartrutvam or karmam is not there. And Krishna has not put it on us any time. That means Atma doesn't have any kartrutvam, any bhoktrutvam in him, karmam in him. Suppose I keep on talking about this duty, 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 and I'm so conscious about my duty. Suppose tonight I die. What happens to my duty then? Who is going to do my duty then? So this duty is a bogus thing. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. So, and I go to get examined by Yama Dharma Raja there. Yama will ask me, have you done all your duty before you came here? Is he going to wait for my answer for that? And has he given us any guarantee that he will not take us back now? He will give us sufficient time to complete all my duty? No. So, death is concerned, it is uncertain. So therefore, this duty business has no meaning. It has no meaning. Duty business has no meaning. So that one thing we have to understand primarily when we take to satsangam and to spiritual life. We'll continue with this after break.
Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam buddhivardhanam pradipada purnamrudaswadhanam sarvasnasupanam param vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpidani midas varanena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamavi durdaiva medrishamiha janinam ryagaham trinadamishuni chena tarorabhi sahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari
నథనం నచనం నసుందరీం కవిలాం వా జగదీశ కామై మమ జన్మని జన్మని ఈశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహై దుగిత్వై ఐ నందనూజ కింకరం పతితామాం శమీ భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళి సదృశం విచిందయామ్ మంగళశ్రుధారయా వదనం గద్గదరుగ్ధయా గిరా పులగేర్నిచితం కదావభూ తవన్నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే శ్లిష్యవా పాదరదాం పినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదధాద్ లంబనౌ మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరాః. So the in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam this question came up. What was that question? Question was that what is the nature of the truth? Bhagavan, isn't it? So there a decision was made that ఐశ్వర్యస్య సమగ్రస్య వీర్యస్య యశస శ్రియ జ్ఞానం వైరాగ్యం సిక్స్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ ఫుల్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ సంబడి హీ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ యాజ్ భగవాన్. భగవాన్స్ డెఫినిషన్ ఐశ్వర్యస్య సమగ్రస్య వీర్యస్య యశస శ్రియ జ్ఞానం వైరాగ్యం. సో ఆల్ ది సిక్స్ డిఫరెంట్ ఆపులెన్సెస్ ఆస్ దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ ఇన్ ఫుల్. Now, when we study about Krishna, we think, oh, Krishna has 100% all these things. But how much do we understand that? What Krishna has got? Krishna had to struggle very hard not to give the impression to us when he was in this world that he is God. That was his greatest problem. In so many instances, Uddhava says this, how he was struggling to cover up himself. Not to present as the God in this world, because he had come here with a purpose. And the purpose was this, that in that manushyanatyam, that means human form, he had to act in that way. I'm one like anybody else in this world. And get the job done also at the same time. That was the purpose. Otherwise, Krishna didn't have to come here even. Why he has to come here? He can stay there where he is and get the job done. But when he came here, every pastime if you look, you will see this. Uddhava says this to Vidura, that Krishna had to always keep himself in check. He has to check himself so that the world doesn't understand who he is. World doesn't understand who he is. That's reasons we'll discuss there in the Bhagavatam, a lot of things spoken there. So you can see when Viluvangalam spoke to Krishna, he says to Krishna, what pleases you is very difficult to know. It's so difficult to understand Krishna's real identity, nature. In Karnamadam, when he closed Krishna Karnamadam, when Viluvangal Thakur wrote that, Krishna Karnamadam, and when he finished that, the last verse in the Krishna Karnamadam, it's a beautiful verse, he says to Krishna, I don't know who you are, actually. Who understands you? Who understands you, he says. Now, if very intelligent people like him, Shankaracharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and many others, they find it hard to understand Krishna. You must remember that. Okay, for various reasons we may say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. We will also say so many other incarnations as Krishna. Do they all understand Krishna completely? Nobody understands Krishna. Nobody understands Krishna. Krishna's position is so high that even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, they don't understand Krishna in some time. So that is why Viluvangal said to Krishna, I don't know what pleases you, he said. But I know that in certain instances you have done some things which has pleased you. That's why you have accepted. And he gave a list of things.
What all? He said. He says to them that long ago when you were here, when Vidura, you accepted Vidura's invitation and went home. What happened was, Krishna came to Kaurava's palace to negotiate on behalf of the Pandavas. And Duryodhana played a smart game. Duryodhana's wife is Bhanumati. Bhanumati is her name. And they arranged a very gala dinner for Krishna and wanted to entertain him very well, look after him nicely, and all sorts of things were arranged. And sensing this mood in Duryodhana, Krishna had to play the game as well. Krishna says to Duryodhana, I have got an invitation from Vidura to go and I have committed. It won't look good if I cancel that invitation and come to your... That means I'm breaking my word, isn't it? It will be misunderstood. Actually, Vidura has not invited Krishna. It was a total lie. It was a total lie. In the Mahabharata, it's explicitly spoken. And Krishna was self-inviting himself. So, things like that he has done with Duryodhana. And he went there and it was totally unexpected. Vidura was not prepared to receive Krishna. No, like you, a big guest comes, you organize yourself to receive him. Nothing was done. There were some fruits. Vidura's wife offered all the fruits and she was in the ecstasy. She was more a devotee than Vidura himself, that she was eating the fruits and mistakenly handed over the skin to Krishna and Krishna ate them that day. So you could accept that, couldn't you? Vilumangalam said to Krishna, you have accepted that. You had no problem. When when you were visiting Kunti Devi in the forest with the Kaurava Pandavas there, Kunti Devi had no means to properly offer something to Krishna. Whatever the five brothers, they were young children then. They used to go to the forest and collect some food from the forest and bring it home. And Kunti Devi used to share that with everybody. And Krishna used to visit them at that time. And Kunti Devi offered that, whatever they have collected in the forest, to Krishna also. And Krishna ate them very happily because Kunti Devi has given that. Kunti Devi was a devotee. Vidura's wife was a devotee. And similarly, when Govardhanam was lifted, Krishna lifted Govardhana hill, the cowherd boys who were with Krishna that day, Krishna has stopped the sacrifice for Indra and told Nanda Maharaj that there is no point in making the sacrifice to stop that Indra's dues, and said everything should be offered to Govardhana hill, isn't it? And our Nanda Maharaj asked Krishna that is there a special way of making this offering to Govardhana? Not like the way, because Indra we know, we have done that many years before, there is Shastram behind it, how to perform Indra Yagam, Indra sacrifice. But Govardhana Yagam, we don't know, we have not done it before. So is there other requirements for that, that you prepare certain special preparations for pleasing Govardhana? Because depending on the guest, you have to change the menu, isn't it? So here Govardhanam is a hill standing there, and Indra is a person, he's a demigod from the higher planets. For him, Indrayagam, there is specifications. Is there specifications for Govardhanayagam? He asked the question. Krishna says yes, there is. And Krishna said everything what he wants to eat. If you look at the list in the Bhagavatam, you will see Samyava Pooba Shashkuli, all sorts of things. Sweet rice, alva puri, everything is listed in that. Everything. He says to Krishna, says to Yudhishthira, to Nanda Maharaj, all these things are required. And Nanda Maharaj told the cowherd boys to prepare everything, and they made everything. And there was a big feast. Amazing feast it was. Wonderful feast they prepared. And they were also a little skeptical how Govardhanam is going to eat all this sweet rice and halwas and puris and pakoras and things like that.
So Krishna took the form of Govardhanam hill and said, I am that Govardhana hill, and ate everything and told them, bring more. Till everything is exhausted, Krishna ate everything. And then finally, everything ran out and they had to go and bring water from Yamuna river and fill the water and offer it to Krishna, and Krishna drank that as well. So Bilvamangalam said to Krishna, you have accepted that. Because why? Because they were your devotees. Vidura's wife was your devotee, you have accepted that. Kunti Devi was your devotee, you accepted that. Similarly, this cowherd boys, they were your devotees, you have accepted that. Then Sudama came to visit you, didn't he? And what he brought was not particularly fantastic. There were stones in that ground rice, flat rice, what you call pava, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that, there were stones in that, because it was collected with a lot of effort by Sudama's wife the night before. She had to go and beg from few shops, and what was got, she tied it down in the piece of cloth and gave it to him to take it to Dwaragadish to show it. You can imagine the presents what he was taking with him. But you were so particular, and Sudama was not willing to show it to him. He was feeling ashamed to take it out and show it to Krishna. Krishna won't let him go. He said, what have you brought for me? Took it out, pulled out and ate it happily, even though there were stones in that, Krishna ate that happily. And then Rukmini Devi said not to continue, because the whole thing will change itself. But so that you could accept that, you, because you had no difficulty, you were satisfied with your devotee, that is what it was. Not only that, when Yashoda Devi fed you with the breast milk, you happily had taken that without any problems. You were happy. Why? Devotee again. Yashoda is the devotee. Sudama is the devotee. And when you came as Ramachandra, who says, Bilvamangalam says to Krishna, when you came as Ramachandra, you left Ayodhya and went to the forest. And the first night itself, you crossed the river, Saraya river. And the other side, you went to Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram. Bharadwaja Maharshi received you and looked after you all, who yourself and Sita Devi and Lakshmana, all three of them. And you were fed by Bharadwaja with the forest fruits and flowers and whatever rishis were eating. Rishi's diet, you can imagine Rishi's diet, what that will be. They completely control the diet, isn't it? not low calorie, but so controlled they were. Sattugunam, everything in Sattugunam, but what comes from the forest? Fruits, basically, that was there. And some roots, some leaves, things like that. You were offered that, you have accepted. Why? Bharadwaja Maharshi is a devotee. Then you went into the forest later on your way to Sri Lanka. You have had a devotee there, Shabari. Shabari brought fruits for you to eat. But Shabari, in her ecstasy, she wanted to offer you the best. And sometimes she has eaten the fruit and tasted it, found it sweet enough for consumption, and handed over to you. You ate that also. You have accepted that also. So Bilvamangalam said all these things to Krishna and says to him, that means, if I am a devotee, you will accept it, I know, he said. If I am not a devotee, you won't accept it. Karnamadam, he says, Varshisha Karnamadam. He says, because they all are accepted only on this one principle. So it is very difficult to say what pleases Krishna. It's very difficult. In the Bhagavadam, he got pleased with Ajamila. He said, Krishna is saying, because he has chanted my holy name. Not 16 rounds, once. Once he chanted the holy name Narayana, Krishna says, I am pleased with him. Is it not? Similarly, with Prajedas, the 10 children of Dasha Prajapati, he says, Prajinavarhis, he says to them, I like you all, 10 of you, by seeing your unity. All of you so much in agreement, working together. I am happy with that, he says. So, wherever you read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, it is impossible to say, what is that one thing, if somebody asks you, what will please Krishna? Impossible to say. Impossible to say. So this is the situation with Krishna. How can we understand Krishna? It is impossible. Even Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the great acharyas and devotees, even they acknowledge this fact. Nobody can understand Krishna. Krishna is too big, much beyond, can't even comprehend Krishna's position, what, who he is. And to get that understanding strongly inside, we have to study Bhagavatam. There's no other way. There's no other way. So that is why, which will come back to Bhagavatam later, when we finish this Bhagavad Gita, and study Bhagavatam from that viewpoint, that how Krishna is understood as the Supreme Personality, Absolute Truth he is. Why everyone is recognizes that. Even great rishis, they are baffled by Krishna's position and the truth. So, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, that, yes, okay, karna, important thing, duty. Na kartrutvam, na karmani, logasya sajari prabho, na karma bhalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartade. Krishna says there, isn't it? We're discussing that. Then why did this happen? Why all this came to us? Kartrutvam, karmam, phalasam yogam, the three things, what's spoken in that? Why did this happen? The answer for that is in the next verse if you look. Krishna says there that na datte kasyachil papam, na chaiva sukrutam vibhu, ajnanena vrutam jnanam, tena mukhyanti jandavaha. That is the answer for that. Na datte kasyachil papam, na chaiva sukrutam vibhu, ajnanena vrutam jnanam, tena mukhyanti jandava. Ajnanam is the cause of the problem. Ajnanena vrutam jnanam. Atma has knowledge. Atma is blissful. And Atma is eternal. We are eternal. We are blissful. We are full of knowledge. But because ajnanam is inside, therefore, tena muhyanti jandava, illusion comes to us. Muhyati means moham. Muhyati means illusion. Illusion comes and therefore we have got these problems. Kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, all it is because of this ajnanam inside. That is why Krishna is saying here. So, the root cause of all our distress is this ajnanam inside. Ajnanam inside. They give this example in the old houses. Very, very old houses, 500 years, 1000 years old. Especially in the warm weather. It's not in the cold weather. Where they will have a lot of wooden beams, like the manor building, for example. Where a lot of wood is used in the construction, isn't it? Unlike in the modern way. But in the olden days, when the house gets very, very old, say 500 years, because wood lasts longer, very good quality wood, there will be lizards hanging on the beams. But the lizard is thinking, I am supporting the beam. That's his mood if you look at the lizard. Lizard gives you the impression like that. So, and if those lizards, they all come together, they form an association, and they say to us that all the work what we are doing, supporting this, without any identification with I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, if they tell us to us. So, and if you completely ignore our position like that, we are going to leave this beam and the beam will drop. If they are going to say like that, in the same way, our pride in this world of what we are doing is also like that. Abhimanam, that is what Krishna is repeating, that in samsaram, material existence, our pride is like that, that we are the doer, we are the doer. This pride is very strong in the people, isn't it? In the people's mind, that they are doing everything and that's why it got done and I am this, I am that. That thing is very difficult to remove from inside. Recognition from the world that I have done all these things, isn't it? So that is why Krishna is saying there are these three things, dambam, darpam, abhimanam. These three things is asuric nature. Now look at that and look at sometimes devotees also and seeing what they have done and achieved in their preaching efforts. From there you can see, is the Asurik Bhavam not there at that time? Is that not Asurik Bhavam working there? Whenever you can see, you are after propaganda. Oh, our Janmashtami, 80,000 came, 100,000 came. This is all that Asurik Swabhavam working inside. We don't need all these things in spiritual life. Asurik Swabhavam will always make propaganda. Asurik Swabhavam's nature is, we want recognition in the world. Others have to tell us what an amazing job. That is not spiritual life. That is Asurik nature it is. It's Asurik nature. And Asurik nature wants recognition. Devic nature doesn't want recognition. Devic nature is always to move away from recognition. Because if you have devic nature, you know Krishna is doing everything. And you don't need for recognition from anybody. Whether you get recognition, don't get recognition, a person in knowledge will continue doing what he has to do to please Krishna. That then he knows where to leave it also. Not go on propagating this to the world. Continuously all the websites, is all the success stories only what you read, isn't it? All the time propagating, oh, our success. Whole world has become Krishna conscious when you read this website sometimes. You see the impression like that, isn't it? Why is it? Asurik nature. That is behind it. That Asurik nature is pushing us to tell the world that this is these things I have done and I want your recognition from the world. Because it is a ploy to mislead people also in that process. And people, especially in this modern present age, where advertisement and this propaganda has become such a powerful influence on people's way of thinking, that they cannot understand what spiritual life means. And even if you tell them that these things are bad, they misunderstand. They take it in the wrong way. Take it in the wrong way. So what we have to realize here is that this Asurik nature, Krishna is trying to tell us something. That if you cultivate this Asurik nature, you will never become Krishna conscious. Krishna is saying to us that. So the same thought. You can see there that I am running everything. If I am not there, how things will go on in this world? And this comes into spiritual life also. Of course, in material life, it is totally acceptable, isn't it? It's totally, that's the way material life runs. Material existence is based on this principle that all politicians, businessmen, they all feel that it is due to them that this world is running. That's in their psyche and in their, they're so convinced about that. And they will say they are self-made men. And the empires they have built in this world, and they go, their empire also goes with them. It doesn't stay very long here. So, and same thing with big politicians, big businessmen, they all have this attitude that they are the ones who are behind it. You can't do anything about it because it's just very much a part of material existence. But when you see that in spiritual life also, then you have to think, where is it coming from? Asurik nature. Dambham darpobhi manascha krotham parushyameva ajnanam chabijadasya partha sampadam asurim. That asuri sambat is more in that person, therefore he needs this recognition from the world. He needs this recognition from the world. That is the reason behind it. Krishna is saying like that. And so, and when this happens a lot in a person, that it is due to me that all these things are happening, and best thing to do, if that is building up inside, leave everything and walk away from the whole thing. If that is building up inside, that it's me who is doing everything, and if you are feeling so much, so strongly, that you are responsible for all the things, what's happening around, and then right thing to do, you have to leave the whole thing there and walk out from there. And there was a famous sannyasi I mentioned before, Abhedananda Swamiji. Abhedananda's ashram, there it so happened that often it was difficult, the things in the ashram. Ashram was growing well, but sometimes money won't be there to run the ashram's necessities. And it used to happen like this, that when things get very difficult, he will leave everything and walk away from there. He'll go on a pilgrimage. for a long period. Sometimes he will come back after a year or two. He will come back and start continuing his services again at the ashram. This is the, and if you ask him where is he gone, you won't know where he has gone. And so this is the symptom of liberated soul. No kartrutvam. No kartrutvam in them. They won't go keep hammering on that. What they can do, they will do it in this world. But they are always conscious that words. Na kartrutvam, na cha karmani, logasya srijati prabhu. Na karma bhalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartate. They can always function in this world with that understanding. With that understanding. That is their success. That's their success. And no kartrutvam in them. So practically that person who has acted without kartrutvam is more advanced than a person who has done a lot and who thinks he has done everything. You see? Or who is beating the drum and making the propaganda to the world that so much has been done. We have achieved so much. And then make a movie out of it. And then distribute it to the whole world, saying that we have done all these things. Now I am sure Krishna has nothing he can do about us now. He has to take us back home, back to Godhead. No, that is not what is the agreement with Krishna. Krishna is saying, you follow my terms and conditions. I can't follow your terms and conditions. You may have done a lot in this world, but as far as I am concerned, na kartrutvam, na cha karmani, this is my terms and conditions. When these terms and conditions are accepted, then you are entitled for my grace, Krishna's grace. That's the way it works. So, and you can see, whenever you depend on Krishna and hands over to Krishna everything, things will go a lot smoother than when you take it upon your own shoulders. You take it upon your own shoulders. So, and their attitude, Abhayananda Swamiji particularly used to say this, it's all Krishna's responsibility, not mine. I can't do anything about it. I don't have the capacity. And that's how he maintained, always. Jnanananda Saraswati used to do the same thing. In his ashram, sometimes there will be Bhagavatam classes for days together. And people used to come. And he used to give the classes like this. He used to say to them, people who were there, everybody who comes to the ashram should be fed very well, he says. He's telling his people there. He says, everybody should be fed very well, he said. And all the inmates in the ashram were thinking, there is not even a grain of rice in the ashram. And he's telling us that we should feed them well. Everybody should be given prasadam. So one day, some of the devotees who were there in the ashram, they said to him, they were respectful to him because they knew that he was an example of renunciation. Jnanananda Saraswati, Shivananda Swami's disciple. So one day they went up to him and they says to Jnanananda Saraswati that you have invited all these people to come and you said we have to feed them very well. There is not even rice left in the storeroom. There was nothing there. Jnanananda Saraswati says to them, get the water boiling, he said. Somebody will bring something, he said. And they put the water to boil. Suddenly one businessman comes with a cartload of rice, vegetables, everything, and says to them that today is my mother's Shraddha ceremony or something. I wanted to donate something to the ashram and I brought this. He was so cool, he says that there is everything there now. You can take it and prepare the feast, he said. This type of personalities were there. Abhayananda, Jnananda, there were so many like this. They had so much faith in Krishna and in the Shastra. They will say, if anything goes wrong, then say this verse is wrong then. In the Bhagavad Gita, that was their faith. Na kartrutvam, na cha karmani, logasya srijati prabhu, na karma phalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartate. And he also says there, nadate kashyajil papam. If something wrong, sinful reaction is not for me. Na chaiva sukrutim vibhu. Something good happens, also I am not responsible. You can imagine what state of consciousness that is. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti chandava. This is that verses in the Bhagavad Gita. So their attitude is, it's not my karma, it is Krishna's karma. If it has to happen, it will happen. If it is not meant to happen, it won't happen. That's the way it happens. In spiritual life, it's always like that. Not due to our effort or our capacity, something will happen. If my effort and my capacity, something happen, it won't last. It will go. It will not stay. Also, it cannot stay because Krishna Sangalpam is more powerful than any of our Sangalpam is. We may have some desire to do something, but who makes it happen? Krishna makes it happen. Not due to our desire or our strength. There is no strength in all these things. That's the important point. So, in their heads, they never thought any responsibility. They feel no responsibility. So, this is a lesson to all the householders. They used to say this. Abhedananda Swamiji used to say this. He said, I am talking to you, he said, to the householders. If it gets too much, the householder life, and it becomes, things are not working out, and it's only because you have taken upon yourself everything. That's why. Leave everything at home and walk away for a few months and come back. You will see everything has worked out very well. In fact, it would have worked out better than when you were left. So it's a kind of, this is called that moham. Krishna calls it as moham. Moham means illusion makes us think that we are the responsible for the well-being of the family or how the family is maintained in this world. This is all the illusion that we have built up around us. I'm a householder. I can't do anything else. I can only look after my family. This is my responsibility. This is called moham. This is called moham. That family is meant to survive. It will survive. If it's not meant to survive, no matter how well you look after that family, it won't survive. It will go. It will go back. Some bomb will blast in some form in the house. It will be either the children or the wife or some relation, some way, something will happen within the family. The whole family situation will change. That's the important thing Krishna is talking about there. So, what I'm coming back to this is, these two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here that na kartrutvam na karmani logasya sujati prabhu na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. Then he also mentions there, Nadate kasijil papam nachaiva sugrudam vivo. Ajnan inavurdam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. Krishna said there, ajnanam is responsible. Here again, Krishna is saying, ajnanam cha bijadasya partha sampadam asurim. So, asurik buddhi comes from ajnanam. Asurik buddhi comes from ajnanam. This is the basic principle. This we have to keep holding on to that. Ajnanam is the cause of asurik vidya, asurik buddhi. Sometimes you see that asurik buddhi, whether you are a devotee, non-devotee, karmi, whatever category you want to put it. If there is ajnanam in a person, asurik buddhi will be there in him. So, asuri sambat, asuri nature, the symptom of itself is, I am the doer, everything. I am the doer. And that is the very root causes of this asuri sambhata. I am the doer. I am the doer. And like they say, isn't it, that the root, the virus behind the infection, isn't it? Computer, they say, isn't it, the virus. Similarly, when that virus gets in, it destroys the whole thing. Computers function altogether. So the whole system gets destroyed. So this is what has happened to us also. This I am the doer is that virus that has got inside. And which we call it as karta and bhokta. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And that has developed into, that is the virus that is inside us. And Krishna is saying here, because of that virus is inside, the whole system is infected with that, influenced by that. That is why he is putting all the three together. Have you noticed? Dambham, darpam, manam, abhimanam. Dambham, darpo, abhimanascha. All three, whole system has collapsed because of that. Dambham, darpo, abhimanascha. Krodham, parushyam, evacha. Ajnanam, chabijadasya. Partha Sampadam Asurim. Asurim. These verses we should analyze it very well. Only then you will get the message well. Of course, on a surface you can say, yes, this is the demonic nature, this is the divine nature. But that's not good enough. unless you see how it builds up inside a person, this asuric nature, when you understand that, then you can be a little bit more considerate towards that, isn't it? So basically Krishna is saying here that virus has got in, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and it has infected the whole system. It has infected the whole system. How has it infected? Dambam, darpam, abhimanam. Three things. And which in turn? Krodham, parushyam. Five things. Three becomes five again. So whole infection, how it spreads all around in the body. So, thing is very simple, but our intelligence is very dull. Jadilam, they call it. Intelligence is very dull. So, therefore, very simple things, we make it very complicated because of the dull intelligence. Thing is very simple. Because I have taken up this business, I am the doer on everything. And I have created this whole thing called duty, karma and all other things. And I take it upon my own shoulders. I feel responsible about that. Therefore, these three things have come. Which one? Dambam, darpam, abhimanam. Suppose we don't have kartrutva, bhoktrutvam. Dambam, darpam, abhimanam won't happen. And this you will see even sometimes in karmis. They are not initiated, but they have this understanding in them. I will give you some people when you can meet them and see them. They don't have the ego inside, they are doing it. They are not initiated devotees or anything. They are not even chanting Hare Krishna, they are not doing anything. But this quality is there in them. Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam is not there. And therefore, they don't suffer in life. Sometimes whatever they do in this life is not always a success. But people won't get upset with them because of this. Because they never take the ownership of anything what they do. If it happens, it happens. Completely in a detached mood, able to do things. Because Krishna is doing everything, that we have to recognize. But unfortunately, the virus is inside. Virus is saying dambam, darpam, abhimanam, plus krodham, bhairushyam, five things. Till that goes away, and Krishna is saying this matter is very simple, that because you have kartrutva bhoktrutva in you, therefore you have got the problems. That is the infection, the virus inside. And that is why Krishna says there, ajnanenavritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Isn't it? Ajnanenavritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. He says there. And so ajnanam is a cover. Ajnanam is the cover. Ajnanam is the cover. Ajnanenavritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Jnanam is there, but it is covered with ajnanam. Ajnanam is what? Kartrutva bhoktrutva. Jnanam is the kartrutva bhoktrutva. So Krishna is slowly taking us in that way to make us understand that if you have not understood this fifth chapter, it's no point in reading this 16th chapter. Because the root cause of this demoniac nature, asuric nature, is coming from this. He's linking it with that, you see. Krishna is linking that to that. So we got to be careful. Unless we take all this on board in our own life, what have we understood then Bhagavad Gita otherwise? What's the point in repeating the verses a lot? Doesn't help. But when it comes to our own life, in our own daily life in this world, if these principles are not ruling us, that means we have not understood Bhagavad Gita. We have not understood Bhagavad Gita. And if we have to tell Bhagavad Gita to somebody else, we got to follow it first, isn't it? Otherwise, what's the point? And that is why you will see there, Krishna says here, that jnanam inside will only go with jnanam, with knowledge. That you can see in the next verse. Krishna says there, jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashinam atmana. 16th verse, 5th chapter. Jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashinam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. So, jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmana. Yesham nashitam atmana. Tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. Krishna is saying,
When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Sun lights up everything in the daytime. So that is that important verse in the... These are all important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. You can see which verse is not important in the Bhagavad Gita. Because it is all related to our life in this world today, now. Every moment, this has to have its impact on us. In our, not that I read it once a year or once a month and I read the Bhagavad Gita and tell people that I read and I do what I like. Then it is not Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is saying here that one whose ajnanam has gone through knowledge, for him, his knowledge will shine like the sun, he says. Tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. And what will happen is, he will see his real situation, actually who he is, will be revealed to him. Not by studying through mind and intelligence, he won't get it. Everything has to be revealed at the end. Krishna has to reveal it to us, who we are, isn't it? So that is why too much absorption in mind and intelligence doesn't help in spiritual life. Mind and intelligence, remember that example, when a plane is running on the runway in the beginning, you need the wheels and that gear, the landing gear, everything is there. But once the plane is taken off in spiritual life, then the wheels are useless, the gear is useless. It has to fly on its own. Spiritual life is like that. Mind and intelligence is like the wheel and the gear. What is our problem is, we are trying to learn everything through the mind and intelligence. It won't work. It won't happen. This is why Krishna is warning us that don't use your mind and intelligence too much. In the beginning, yes, when you start reading Bhagavad Gita the first time, you need some mind and intelligence. But once you have taken off from the runway, the plane, that means you have come to a certain stage in life, in spiritual life, you started seeing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in a different way. Not like the way you started reading it first time. First time when you read, you don't know what it is all about. But as much as you keep on hearing and you keep on reading Bhagavad Gita, you will start realizing there is something much, much more deeper than what you thought about it before. And when you start getting that from the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, then you will realize it. Mind is not important, intelligence is not important, and there will be no more questions also after that. It will stop. It will naturally stop. Many people who are in that state, you can see them. When you ask the questions to them, they will smile at you because they know that you are just coming into the, you are the new entry into the spiritual world. So that is how it is. But the more we get hearing and this process of taking Krishna's word seriously happens inside, you will notice this change happening in a natural way. There is no more doubts after that about anything. Truth is there. It's only a question of realizing it. That's all it is left. And that is the only way to progress in spiritual life. Not by asking questions or by any other method. There is no other method. This is the only method. Hearing, getting deeper into it, and eventually by as much as you accept what Krishna has spoken, accordingly you will change the realizations building up inside. And when realizations are happening, you don't need to ask anyone anymore. You got your own taste for the benefit, and you won't ask any more questions. All what you need then is more realizations from Krishna, and that is how it works. So let's stop there today and we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.